On this episode of Pottages.
自己中。
ワールドオンザナイフ。
一条ジャック。インペリアルドラゴン。
行け。コマモン。行け。コマモン。
Pottages。
Welcome to Pottages, episode T2.0, Try to Be Free.
Try Chapter 2, Determination.
The struggles are real, courage versus cowardice.
Recorded March 14th, 2016.
Pottages is your critically nostalgic, analytical tour through the Digimon anime. I'm Jeff Ruberg, and I'm joined by Ashley McDonald.
All were born out of the scorching heat.
Astra Soffman.
If I fail out of rabbinical school, y'all know why.
And Andrew Soffman.
Yo.
I thought you were going to do a Pi Day thing. I thought you were going to say, gotta get down on Pi Day. Disappointed. In case you aren't aware, we're recording this on Pi Day.
In case you don't know what Pi Day is, it's March 14th.
Who doesn't know what Pi Day is?
Some people don't go to nerd school.
In Europe, because they do the dates backwards and like, don't call pizzas pies. Apparently, they just like don't care.
Wait, but Pi Day doesn't have anything to do with like pizza.
Well, apparently pizza places do like specials on Pi Day.
Really?
It makes sense because it's called a pizza pie, Jeff.
No, yeah, sure. But like I never really connected that to Pi Day. Like I always remember like in school Pi Day being a like fruit pie thing.
Well, yeah, that too. But also pizzas are circular and pie has to do with circles. So you can make that connection too.
Before we get into the episode, a couple quick notes. First off, our spoiler policy. This episode is not intended as a spoiler-free review to help you decide if you want to go see the movie. We basically assume anyone who's listening to this already knows if they want to see the movie or not, and probably already have, if they're listening, quite honestly. So, yeah, we're going to be spoiling everything. If you have not seen it and don't want to be spoiled, then come listen to this after you've seen the movie. If you don't care about spoilers, then just do whatever you want. And the second note is that, depending on when you're listening to this, we are still running the third Pottages Try giveaway extravaganza. And so that ends on the 21st at midnight Eastern Standard Time. So if you're listening to this within a couple of days of the episode coming out, that's still available. But if you are listening to this later, sorry, there'll be more giveaways in the future. But for now, if you're listening to this in time, there are lots of different ways you can enter. You can enter several different ways to enter. Basically, each time you do, you enter and you get another entry, and that increases your odds and whatever. And yeah, there are seven different ways to enter through social media if you have different social media accounts. But also, if you listen to our Flashcast episode, there was a secret code word that you can email us to get an entry, and there's another code word for listening to this episode. So stay tuned to the end of the episode to find out what the code word is. Lots of cool prizes. You know, there's a little poster, badges, coasters, lots of cool stuff. The newest thing this time around is CDs. So there's one for each of the Try singles that have come out recently. Butterfly, Braveheart, I Wish. And the newest one we added this time around is the Cyber Sleuths OST, which is, you know, a big, you know, it's not just a couple songs, it's the whole soundtrack, and it's really good, and it's really cool, and if you like Cyber Sleuth, you check that out. Yeah, so good luck in the contest. This week we're looking at Try Chapter 2, Determination. The kids take a break at an onsen to force Taichi and Yamato to get a room together naked. In an attempt to secure Toei a budget for more animation frames, they list off the fine features of the lovely Oedo Onsen Monogatari, an oasis in the heart of Japan's capital city.
Mimi tries to turn their school festival cafe into a Hooters. She and Mako meet up with Geisha Palmon and, believe it, Mako-man, for an exquisite dining experience of french fries. Ogremon interrupts their date, so Togemon destroys a helicopter. Mimi's selfish, Joe sad, and Hikari's a stalker.
Gomamon tries to give Joe ramen, but gives him tears instead, and then has to run away because he's not a saltwater fish. The school festival starts, rounding out Determination's buy one movie, get two anime episode stereotypes deal. Mimi and Mei Mei somehow manage to dance with approximately two frames of animation. Daigo and Maki reveal that Komi is their OTP, and Leomon is a terrible babysitter.
Meikumon tries to get flan and crepes, but gets a Kaiser roll instead. Gomamon turns into a Viking, and Palmon turns into another flower with a different color. Ken returns a Trojan Maine Coon, and Leomons.
I want to start off this general discussion by just having our broad reaction to the movie in three words or less. Ashley, are you going to say the same one you said on our flashcast?
Yes, it's still trying.
I think that's the most bizarre.
That's three answer. Words. It's still trying.
And Asher, what's your reaction?
My reaction, honestly, is yay.
Oh, of course, that's your reaction.
Yeah, I liked this one for obvious reasons.
And Andrew?
How many words do I get?
Three.
Better than one.
I agree.
Nice.
It didn't piss me off as much.
It's a high bar.
That's seven words.
It didn't piss me off as much? Mm-hmm. Better than one is three.
Yes. Okay, fine. Has yours changed since you watched it twice, Jeffrey?
I changed one word. So my first reaction was fun but frustrating. And now it is fun, emotional, frustrating. So it's not really a sentence.
That's poor English, yeah.
I didn't say three word, like, had to be a sentence, just three words.
I guess that's true.
Another appropriate one is what's going on?
Yeah.
What's going on?
There's that too. Ashley, why do you think it is still trying? What about us trying?
I mean, it's just so, it's emotionally good at very specific things, particularly just focusing on the Digidestined struggles. It is very bad, or at least moderately bad, at almost everything else.
Yeah.
And I find that very trying to my emotions because it fluctuates too much.
It is not good at plot in the least.
Yes.
But it's good at the slice of life.
It is.
Yeah.
Why are they trying to give us a plot? Like, nobody wants it.
That's not true.
They've made it too they're just making it too convoluted and, like, making it more convoluted instead of trying to explore the convoluted things that they already put there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, it's hard to say it was convoluted. It's just like they've thrown a lot of elements together and haven't linked any of them or, you know, really drawn threads in them yet. So it's just like a lot of dots and like you don't really know how they're going to. So I don't know if it's like, I guess you could say it's convoluted because it's just like things become less convoluted once you see how they tie together. And we just have a bunch of dots. We have like Hackman hanging around. We have Mockingdago. We don't know if they're good or bad completely. Ken, Imperial Demon, everything. Yeah, there's just so many dots and.
Alphamon.
Yeah, oh, yeah, that guy. That guy happens.
It is so weird how like he's like almost completely forgot it. Like I did not expect that. They'd just be like, it's almost like he was the episodic, you know, like monster of the week and almost forgotten about, which is totally the way they set it up in the first movie. Like he has to come back, right? Like he was hunting Meikumon. They implied that he was the one who like took down the 0-2 kids or whatever happened to them, was involved in that at least. So but yeah, my view of my main takeaway is frustrating, or was the first time, because my first watch, I was really pumped and really excited for the Ken Imperial Demon stuff, and it's, like, what is in this movie is basically just a teaser, and I wish I had not gone and expect, like, having seen teasers that featured them, I figured this would be the meat, and we already seen the teasers.
I feel like they put half of it in the teasers, like, really.
Yeah. I mean, like, there was plenty of Imperial Demon fight. Like, the fight was actually pretty well animated. It was a nice fight.
There was plenty of Imperial Demon, but, like, I think literally they put like half of the shots of Ken in teasers.
Yeah.
And the other half are not any more helpful than the
which is a weird reaction we have, because I feel like if I didn't go in with those expectations set up from the teasers, I guess it was mainly just the, it was in the PVs and in that commercial that came out in the past couple weeks. But if I hadn't gone in with that expectation, I would have been like, I would have found this movie teasing them being so awesome. But instead I went in expecting them to have not answers, but like I was saying before, like, you know, not just dots, but like dots connecting to something else, showing them do something. Or the little bit we got was like a couple of the people saying Ken or Ichijoji and making lots of inferences based on how they say it.
Yeah. They called him Ichijoji, which was startling.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's weird because like Mimi says like Ichijoji-kun, which is like a mix of last name plus an affectionate, which might just be
That's normal.
Yeah, I guess Mimi just calls everyone Kun probably. But yeah, like they refer to him as Ichijoji-kun or whatever. And there's one line in particular where like, I think it's, Takaru? I can't remember, it's Takaru Hikari. Mm-hmm. I think it's one of the two of them who like says like, oh, him again.
That was weird.
Yeah, it's totally not a, oh, we've been missing all of our other 0-2 kids. He's finally back. Oh no, he's in trouble because he's in this place possessed or something. It was like, ugh, him again. I thought we got rid of him. You know, which is, Anyway, I'm just frustrated.
Yeah, and don't they refer to him as Ken even in Japanese?
In 02 or in this movie?
In 02.
I don't remember. I wasn't aware of that stuff.
I mean, at the same time, it seemed to go out of its way to really make only Takeru and Hikari the ones who acknowledge.
No, because like the
Ken's existence.
No.
Besides Maki.
Didn't Mimi say Ichijoji-kun?
Yes, Mimi said Ichijoji-kun, but I'm not aware of Mimi ever speaking to Ken before. So like, I'm okay with that. Like, that makes some sense to me. But like the O2 kids referring to Ken as Ichijoji seems very strange to me.
Well, but we also grew up on the dub.
We did, but like they were going around telling Mako to call them by their first names.
Having just met, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, right, it's like, and Ken is also like the only Digidestin that they would have, or chosen child, whatever, that they knew from a distance before, you know, like, it totally makes sense for them to like refer to him as Ichijoji-kun when he was the emperor or the genius or whatever before they actually became friends. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, my point is just, I'm just really frustrated that, like, that's what we're left on now is, like, you know, how did they refer to him instead of, he didn't even have a line, you know, he didn't say anything.
He had a lot of smiles.
That's true. He was very good smiling. So, things we loved. I have a long list. Do you guys have a long list of things you loved?
I mean, my list is Gomamon.
Gomamon, and Gomamon.
Yeah.
I have a different list, but it's not particularly long.
If only you could say the list.
Do you want me to say?
Yes, Ashley. I was like, how long can this pause go?
It's such a shame you edit out silence. Well, I really liked the struggles. In particular, I liked Joe's line. When does this happen? I don't know. Like, he's talking to Gomamon, I'm pretty sure, at some point. Mm-hmm. And he's like, but even if you get over it once, the same questions return. And I'm like, oh no, it's tragic.
Oh no.
No, he's not talking to Gomamon.
No, he was talking to Gomamon that time. No, he was talking to Mimi.
He was talking to Mimi in the rain.
Yeah. That was really good. Yes, I agree.
I actually think that the translation or the way that we talk about it like shows that it's sort of wrong, because like the way you talk about like getting over things implies something that is stationary and you just like climb it and then you're like, cool, got to the other side. But it's more like you get into a fight.
I'll be right
with
back.
A person. Andrew's leaving me. It's more like you get into a fight with a person and then you finally like beat the thing down and you're like, cool, now I'm running away, and then it catches up to you again and you're like, crap. Like,
Yeah,
you're just in a constant fight with the thing. Yes, that made me sad.
My favorite thing, just like the humor in general, like it was much more that was one of the things I was genuinely really surprised by. It was like how much humor there was, especially like the onsen scene, the whole episode, and how it was it was so, where did I write this down, that it was like, knowing there was going to be an onsen episode, I was like, oh god, not another one of these. And I don't know, maybe it's a testament that I haven't seen enough anime, but this is like really fresh and new. Like, I don't think I've seen one like this that was like all about objectifying the guys and not the girls almost at all. And, you know, that was like wacky hijinks, but not at the expense of like, look at these characters' boobs, they're everywhere, oh my god.
Said so. We got sexy man chests.
Yeah, there was a lot of, but they were always okay. They weren't always toweled. I mean, Koshiro wasn't fully toweled, but
poor Koshiro.
You know,
like,
and yeah, and I just really enjoyed that whole segment, and also the gender dynamics of it. It was really sweet seeing Meikumon be like, have like senpai relationships and like think of the Digimon as her senpai. It doesn't really make sense because she's an adult level and they're all child level except for Gatomon, but like, whatever. I mean, she's new.
Even what
she, is? Even if she's older, she's still new to the team. I really like Maki and Daigo's dynamic. They, they're like, they bicker, they're kind of sweet. They like might be dating, maybe not.
No, they're exes.
Oh, they say that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They did?
He said that some, in the onsen, he's like, she's my ex. And then she like hits him.
Yeah.
Like, oh. That's too much information.
And I actually really like, I don't think there's enough representation in stories of exes working together and getting along still, and like still having that that bond of knowing each other for, like, intimately for a really long time. Like, apparently, it seems they were childhood friends. Because he talks about what she was like in elementary school. And I just really like the depth of exes.
Huh. So them being like canonically exes makes it... My out there theory was that they were like... They're actually a Digimon that's been split into two different personalities. And that would be like being an ex. Almost.
That would still work. Yes.
Yeah. I really like how... What I was expecting of this movie was that the drama and focus of the last movie would just be completely backgrounded, like not even mentioned at all anymore. Kind of like how whenever Taichi, Yamato, or Tai and Matt fought in Adventure, it was just like they would fight and then it'd be over in the next episode and it'd be like everything's completely smooth until they fought again. But in this, it was like, you know, their drama is still going on in the background. It was even, I thought it was like really brilliant how that was supposed to be the reason for the onsen visit, to get them together.
Mm-hmm.
But then it also allowed
to
them
get
to...
them together.
But it also allowed them to, you know, introduce Mako to like serve not double duty, but like several different duties. It was was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, like the Kabedon thing wasn't. I guess we were like it was in the trailers. Like, oh my god, it's gonna be a big thing. And I guess it wasn't that big of a thing. But I appreciate how they kept discussing the Omegamon breakup. And because I remember being really confused about the animation and pacing of that scene in the end of the last movie. Because we were like, did Omegamon break up because Taichi was hesitant? Did Omegamon even break up? It's really hard to tell. And there was like one frame of animation that was like really hard. If you looked at each individual frame, you could see Omegamon split into Agumon and Gabumon, I think. I think it was Agumon Gabumon. Maybe it was Metal Greymon and Wargreymon. Anyway, but there was like one frame you could see that. So like it kind of confirmed that they did split up in the middle of the attack. And that's why it didn't really work fully. But, you know, they confirmed it here. They're like, or at least Yamato thinks that Taichi split them up. And that was really cool. But also cool that it wasn't, they were able to focus on everyone else while keeping that in the background. Babysitter Leomon's pretty cool. Or pretty cute, at least.
Definitely cute, not cool.
I mean, I have lots of issues with it on like a plot level. But for me, like that looks cute. And it's like a cute thing to see. And it's funny, like, I really appreciate it on that level, but, like, plot level, I'm like, bleh. And I also really liked, I think it was in our second try episode for the first movie, when we talked to Jacob Hope Chapman, he mentioned that, I guess it's his, like, theory, or, like, the way he considers Digimon to be, like, creepy, like, what did he call it? He called it?
Yeah.
Cugly, like, cute and ugly together.
Yeah.
And so, like, this contest, which is the creepy cute contest, I was like, oh my god, that's, like, canon now. That's
how,
and I was like, this fits perfectly. Like, that was really cool to see.
Cugly.
Yeah, maybe cugly is that, because I mean, like, the Japanese isn't, it's like, I forget the word for creepy, but it is like a hybrid word of like cute and like kawaii and whatever the word for, like, I think it's like kamokawa is what they use, like that. So we could just use cugly. Take that from Jacob. Yeah. Oh, and Gomon is just heartbreaking. Gomon leaving, especially.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god. Like, his face when he, like, starts to see Joe crying is just like, oh my god, no.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I realized a couple minutes ago, Ash, like, who are your two favorite human characters from Adventure?
Who do you think?
This is so obvious.
I'm basically guessing, like, it's like this movie was basically made for you.
Yes, it was, actually.
Asher is never gonna, she's not gonna like the other four parts.
Right. Yeah, I'm not going to care. I'm not going to care about any movie that comes out after this one.
This is the height of Digimon.
No, okay. I'll care about TK and Kari. That's it, though.
Yeah.
What about Ken?
What about what?
I guess you never cared that much about Ken.
I mean, I care about Ken, but I think he gets too much spotlight.
He
does. Oh, and I'll care about Sora, but only because I really want them to fix what they did with her storyline.
I'm also really...
Just in general.
She, like, I feel like has gotten the least focus of any of these characters in past Digimon, or to past adventure stuff, so, like, her getting the spotlight, I'm excited for, just to see what they could do.
Mm-hmm.
I also have a long list of, like, cute individual moments. I don't have cute moments.
Did you ask Andrew what his favorite part was?
Did I?
No, you did
no.
not.
Well, you guys just talked.
What kind of host are you, Jeff?
Jeff.
Andrew, talk.
Well, since everything just seems wonky, I'm just going to say I really just enjoyed most of the slice of life stuff.
Which was most of the movie. What were your favorite slice of life moments? Or, like, what stood out about the slice of life?
Just all the character dynamics. It's like Mimi and Mako.
Mm.
Mimi and Mei Mei, come on.
I'm really curious to see how, like, I feel like this movie was a perfect introduction to Mako. Like, she seems like the character that really fits into Maymay. Mako really fits into kind of needing to be directed by someone like Mimi does naturally. But, like, I'm wondering how they're going to go with that forward when it's not Mimi at the focus of the episode. Like, is she always going to be with Mimi? Is it going to be, like, Sora's? Or not sorry, like Takaru gonna be guiding her in the next episode? Like,
oh god,
no,
keep Takaru away from Mako.
He's like, you should wear this hat, and he'll tempt her with hats.
I think the fact that Mimi calls Mako Maymay and Mako and Meikumon call each other May supports May from Lost in Translation Mon's theory that they are just a Digimon that has been split.
I agree. I actually kind of agree
they
there.
Just one Digimon.
I mean, the weird thing about that is that, like, they have the same name, but they don't have, like, similar designs at all. You know, like, Mako looks very different from Meikumon.
Yes.
I mean, okay, so...
Yeah, no, I mean, I definitely think that's a possibility, but it also seems like, you know, like, if the end of this movie ended with, you know, Mako, like, merging into Meikumon for her to, like, turn evil or something, but it seems like Mako is like, oh, crap. Well, I don't know. That's still very possible. Like, oh, no, my dark side.
She's going to become a rage monster and stab Takeru, and then Patamon's going to run away.
Okay. Yeah.
Going to run away and die.
So back to favorite stuff and cute moments. We saw in the teaser, but seeing Joe get the picture of Goemon and just, like, generally Goemon reporting back to Joe at the onsen was super sweet. And it's like, oh.
Okay, I still don't know whose shirt it is. Whose shirt do you think it is, Asher?
What, the one Goemon was wearing?
Yeah.
I don't... Baby TK, I don't know.
Baby TK. Good answer.
I forget what it actually looks like. Couldn't it just be, like, selling at the onsen, like, just have shirts?
But it looks like TK's Zero Two shirt.
Yeah. Anyway, Digimon being spun by the OB, the, like, Yukata ribbon thing was cute.
I mean, it was cute, but it was also a little...
cliche.
I have reservations about it that I have reservations about it that I guess I can save.
How severe are these reservations? What are you saving them for?
For the next section.
Okay. Interesting. Gabumon being peer pressured to take off his coat was cute, but also, like, I mean, peer pressure.
Leave Gabumon alone.
Yeah.
It was kind of a funny callback.
Yeah. Mimi singing I Wish to distract the boys was also a cute little callback. Sora, almost all these are from the onsen. Sora putting a bucket on Mako's head because she's too embarrassed when she, like, sees Daigo. Like, that was really cute. Yamato, when, like, stuff's going down, like, Taichi and Yamato come out of the sauna, and then, like, I think they start talking to Taichi, and Yamato, like, is just, like, he's, like, in the door still, so he just, like, walks back and closes the door and leaves.
Yeah!
He's like, I can't even, goodbye.
I really liked this movie for bringing back stupid dork Yamato. I missed him.
So I made a gif of that and compared it to a gif that I made from the first movie, which is, like, a very similar dynamic that Taichi has when Yamato and Sora are talking, and Taichi walks in and, like, sees them talking, then turns away. And it's like, oh, they're, like, so similar to each other.
They're made for each other.
Yep. There was a cute callback that May pointed out in Lost in Translation Mon to the location from that Takeru and Yamato go to in our war game. They're talking about where Takeru's grandmother is, and Tai is like, oh yeah, that place that didn't have any computers. And Yamato is like, oh, that was years ago.
I liked that too. Matt got all the funny moments. Made me happy.
What about Gabumon?
That was the best, best Matt moment.
Also,
just gonna walk around screaming that every time I think of Yamato now. What about Gabumon?
his new band name, or the name, I think there was some confusion about this. The band that he forms for the school festival has a different name, of course, it's a different band, but the name World on the Knife is,
yeah,
typical Yamato.
World on the Knife.
Everyone's teeth glimmer when they say it too, like,
yeah. And Kari's just like, I don't.
Like, Kari was brilliant.
Her face is like,
yeah.
Case was like, that is silly.
Yeah.
But okay.
And Maki and Daigo are Komi shippers.
Oh, yeah, they definitely are.
I was like, are they really doing this? Like, what? Like, Maki sending...
Yeah, she really did that.
Maki sending Gosho a picture of Mimi's upper skirt to, like, that happened, huh?
That happened.
I think Mimi... It wasn't a skirt, though. She was wearing very short shorts.
Yeah, but it was, like, a pic of Mimi's legs.
Yeah.
It was a pic of Mimi's legs with implications of crotch. I don't know. Okay.
Yeah. That aspect is troubling of it. It's troubling.
Yeah,
but like,
a little bit.
But it was cute to just see them be so, like, where is Kosher? Why isn't Kosher here?
It was cute that Maki, that's her name, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It was cute that Maki actually did that. Like, it was cute to see her being human, if that is what she is.
I have doubts about that. We'll get to that later, but I have doubts about
her
motivation for that. Oh wait, actually, do we have MVDs for things we loved? You know, most valuable Digimon / Digestend.
I mean, we all know mine.
Actually, I don't know. Is it Joe or Gomamon?
Gomamon.
Okay.
Forget Joe.
Wait, you don't like Joe?
I love Joe, but he was annoying in this movie.
Oh.
Wow.
I was going to pick Joe.
He took too long to get through his problem. There was one fight too many for me.
Ashley, who's your favorite?
Leomon.
Leomon?
Yes.
What?
No, Mimi.
Mimi.
Andrew, who's your MVD?
Mimi.
Of course.
Yeah, and mine's Joe. The objectively correct answer.
Because you're sexist.
Right. Sexist. No, you're all wrong. It's
Gomamon. You're all wrong.
This episode of Potages is brought to you by Instant Ramen. Instant Ramen is so easy to make, even college students and seals without hands can make it. So what didn't we love?
The entire last part. Part four.
So what about the last part?
Everything about the fight was weird.
It was a very weird fight.
It just didn't flow very well.
Yeah.
It did not have the right amount of hype for the things that were happening.
It was hard to tell what was happening also.
Yeah,
the animation tries to be pretty, but by like being confusing in a way. Like it's trying to like cheat. Be cool.
Well, I don't know. I guess the choreography of the fight itself was like really over the top, and like you didn't really have a good sense of where things were. So it was just like elaborate anime, like elaborate big sweeping attacks and stuff that was like, okay. And they're in the just like a random space. So like, I don't know. It's just that I definitely felt like the directing in general in that was especially bad. Like, I don't think it was so bad throughout the rest of the movie. Like, I definitely had complaints throughout all of chapter one about the directing and pacing of individual shots. But like, I don't feel like I had that many complaints about for the rest of the movie in this. But in the last part, like, it was just like, it would cut to them being like in the last movie during a fight, they would cut on their face for like a second while like they're in the middle of an elaborate fight, and like their face doesn't move at all, and it's just like, what's good? What? Or like when like Joe's line when he's like Ikei Gomamon was like really hype moment.
It was not as cool as it was in the teaser.
Just hearing his voice, yeah.
Well, no, he was standing and like he was just like standing with like in like a kind of awkward pose, like in a group of like huddling with a group of people, and it's like, okay, what? Like,
yeah. Yeah, like so many of those problems could have been solved by letting the Digidestined in to fight. Like, God, why was that necessary? Like, I understand why it was necessary, because they only wanted two of them to fight that guy, but also not necessary, still.
Yeah.
For real.
You'd think there'd be other, like, better ways to frame... I don't know, it was kind of cute to have them, like, huddling around Izzy's laptop, or Kosher's laptop, because, like, I think there have been scenes like that in the original. But like, it would have been more dramatic to have it, like, I don't know, like, on a big screen, because they didn't really have big screens back then.
Yeah. But... That would have been good. Like, sending Mimi and Joe in would have been great.
Especially since it's on the poster, right?
Them. Oh, you mean like, like interacting with the Digimon and being like flung around and stuff?
Yeah. Are we done crapping on the fourth part?
Well, no, I want to crap on that more because like even like in it being awkward, it was like I mentioned, alluded to before, like, I was expecting so much of that to, like, not reveal things necessarily, but just, like, connect some dots or make lines out of those dots at all. And it was just like, here's Ken. Ken's gone now. He maybe did something that is maybe good or bad. We have to kind of guess. And
I'm not convinced it's Ken, but...
Yeah, that's the other thing.
Or like, even human.
Yeah.
Right, like we got so many characters in the universe, assuming it is Ken, but...
And I don't trust any of them.
Right. But I also, it's also hard for me to tell if like, if I trust it to like misdirect that much, you know, or if like, or if it's kind of like them guessing that is word of God. I don't know. We'll see, I guess. But yeah, I still really like, I think the idea you mentioned in a PV episode, which is that it's like evil taken form. But I really like the idea because I thought it would like, you know, Ken would get development in seeing a reflection of his old self, but they're not present. So who cares anymore?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like having Ken show up or like a whatever looking like Ken doesn't really seem to rile up the kids at all. They're just like, ugh, him again. So I don't even know what that's like. Yeah, I don't even know. And it doesn't seem to be upsetting. Like, it doesn't upset Ogremon at all either. Not Ogremon, Leomon. You know, like, Leomon is, like, presumably, like, defending Primary Village, but then just leaves for, like, days to hang out and babysit the Digimon with no... Ogremon, or Leomon is another one of my big complaints, because it's just, like, I think there's so many awkward just things around his presence. You know, like, he's in several scenes before he talks, and in lots of those scenes, it makes a lot of sense for him to talk, or, like, to say something to Ogremon, or anything, or to make any noise, but, like, he appears to, like, snatch up Ogremon several times, or twice, with no noise whatsoever, which I guess was showing he's, like, sneaky, but, like, he doesn't say, like, oh, I got this or anything. He's just, like, wink or something, or, like, smiles when he takes Ogremon back, and it's just... Every time he appears, I was like, this is awkward. And then he appears, and, like, Taichi's like, oh, yeah, he wants to say something. I'm like, why don't... Leo, why don't you just talk? Like, he did eventually talk.
So where did Taichi, like, find him?
Right, like, in the elevator, like...
out of a distortion. What's up,
Taichi? So that's awkward. It's all awkward. It's all... Yeah, Leomon. My theory with that was that they, like... Actually, I'm curious who the voice actor is, because it seemed like they couldn't... They're like, it seems like signs of not being able to have the voice actor record lots of lines, for whatever reason.
I don't know if I could read that much into it.
Right, yeah. I'm not confident in that, but, like, he has, like, lots of... Like, it felt very natural. Like, his presence felt natural in the last episode. When he's fighting, like, he makes grunts, he, you know, says things, like, he, like, you know, I forget what he shouts something when he goes in to catch Meikumon or whatever. And it's, like, those kind of things were just missing in all the other appearances. And so, like, something about it smells off. But it could just be, like, weird choices.
I think they're just bad at making movies.
Yeah, that might be it. Like, and also, like, they're bad at shifting focus, I think, is the thing. Like, Leomon is neither a chosen child nor a chosen child's Digimon, so, like, they don't really care about him narratively. So, like, you know, why should they give him lines?
I suppose. It just feels so unnatural. And yeah, I feel like there was less really awkward animation than last time, and it mostly shone through in the fights, where it was just like, oh, like... I guess, like, the reaction to Leomon's death was also... My first impression was it was, like, totally toned down. Like, they just didn't seem to react at all. After rewatching, I'm like, okay, they mostly reacted. But then there's just, like, the weird shot of them, like, all, like, lined up in, like, in vertical lines. And it, like, pans through them. And it's like, this is such a weird directing choice. It's just, like, I don't know.
The direction in that last part was just super weird. All around.
It's frustrating because, like, some of it seemed really, like, nice and stylistic. Like, when Leomon actually disappears, it's, like, this really cool, like two colors thing. And it, like, it's really stylistic and it looks really cool. And it's a shame that it's, like, cool things mixed into, like, blech.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Any other things we didn't love?
The overall lack of more O2 non-existence whatever.
Yeah. I think we even got, like, more... Well, I don't know. We got the hint last movie, which was, you know... Maki looking at the screen, and we got the in this one, which is just like Ken's name and whether they know it or not. But there's just such brief teases.
Did they say it was Ichi Joji Ken?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
they did. Okay.
Oh wait, maybe not. All right. No, but like that would if they just said Ichi Joji.
I think Maki said it was Ichi Joji Ken.
Yeah. Hmm. At one point, like when she first sees him on the roof or whatever, she screams Ichi Joji Ken, and then he's not there anymore.
Yeah.
I was just checking because like Digimon Ever still looks like Sam. All right.
Yeah.
And I think it would be really cool if Sam came back, actually. But, yeah.
But he's dead.
I know that.
Like, very dead.
That's what makes it interesante.
It's an alternate timeline.
Right.
Allegedly.
I mean, it would kind of... Because, like, wasn't Ken lying all dead in the first movie?
Yeah, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think he was one of those bodies. Not that they're dead, but...
Yeah, whatever. He was one of the bodies.
It's his Digivice we see.
Yeah.
Like flying in front of the camera.
Yeah.
At this point, having rewatched it, I'm like, okay, yeah, we'll get to that eventually. My reaction just having, like, right after finishing was like, I am so frustrated that I thought we'd get something from this. Do you have things you didn't like?
I have reservations about a lot of things that were portrayed as cute that gave me a bit of a bad feeling, actually. Mm-hmm. Like, Mimi pushing Mako into things she wasn't comfortable with. Like, oh, it's so cute. Like, she's helping her break out of her shell. But, like, it's teaching people not to take no for an answer. And that it's fine and that it's not what the person saying no really wants. And I'm just like,
right. And her arc of like, and I actually really did like this, you know, just like the kind of, it teaches that lesson. Like, yeah, if you push them, they'll eventually appreciate it.
Right. And I don't like that.
Yeah. I mean, it's mostly bad because it's reinforced with the little things like the Gabumon situation.
Yeah. Yeah. And like the thing with the pulling the Obis and like, they have to scream, no, don't. I was like, please, don't, please. Like, it's not cute, guys. Not cute.
I guess I felt fewer reservations about that because it was, like, Digimon. You know, like, if it were kids wearing Yukata, and, like, I assume that comes from, like, a practice of, like, pulling it, and then they, like, Yukata falls off or whatever. And, like, that would have much more reservation about, like, the fact is, Digimon, I guess I...
But it's also... that they were teaching the Digimon to be like, no, about
it. Right, right. A fake no. And
yeah, I don't like that.
Right. Yeah, and I find it frustrating because, like, I found that cute, right? But, like, it's cute in a, like, it's cute how Mimi is kind of, like, a fan and, like, not fan, but, like, a, yeah, there's just something very problematic about and frustrating about that whole, like, I want you to pretend that you don't want this, but then you do, and then I'm going to do it to you anyway. And the whole Mimi and Meimei dynamic reminded me a lot of... Okay, I mentioned it briefly on Lost in Translation, but the dynamic between Haruhi and I can't remember her name in The Melancholy of Haruhi Suzumiya. And like, Asahina. That's super. What is it?
I think it's Asahina.
Asahina, yeah.
Mikuru.
Yeah. And then that's like, so that's like to the extreme where it's like, you know, I'm going to force you to do some things you really don't like and you're going to like protest it the whole time. But like, the fact that you're protesting is the cute thing and like, and like, this I feel like is like a much more of a gray area than that because you're like.
At the same time, there's an awareness that Haruhi is sort of a parody of all things that is definitely not present in Digimon.
Yeah.
To an extent, I feel that these things that Mimi does sort of undermine her struggle where she was like, when I think something is good, I just assume it's good for everybody. And that, like, you're supposed to feel bad being like, yeah, that's not always true. But then, like, the show reinforces that it is true for her most of the time.
Yeah. So Ashley, we have a shared topic.
Oh, this is cute. Aww.
It's not cute. So we're gonna start off by just.
All right.
It's cool. It's not cute.
That's right.
Oh, right. Gotcha.
Because masculinity is so fragile.
No, because femininity is so fragile. You never thought that, did you? So we're gonna start off by just looking at the character, the arcs that Joe and Mimi go through, their struggles, and in general I found them like so much more affecting than I expected.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly Joe's, but
yeah,
so like everything that we've seen of him in the past movie was that like he's too busy to go to his Digimon meetings, his Digimon after school club, and we kind of see cracks in that now that it's like it's not quite that simple. It's not that he's just like too busy and he's like, you know, is busy 100% of the time and just like just can't go to these, but it's more that he, my reading of it is that he starts to fall off the wagon of going to the meetings, going to meetups and stuff because he's too busy. And then at that point, like, if he goes back, he's going to be chided. So he, like, and he mentions specifically, like, if he shows up again, he's going to be, like, chided for not going. And then someone's going to defend him. And then he's going to be like, ugh, like, I don't even get have it. Like, there's no point in even, like, I can't even say anything because everyone's just going to argue about me. And that whole thing's just frustrating. And so, but I mean, it really reflects how, I think in lots of things, and like most things in life, if you like establish a regular routine, it's like pretty easy to maintain, but falling off of that and like getting back on it is so much harder. And like the guilt he faces is such a vicious cycle because, you know, the guilt about coming back is what keeps him from coming back, which then makes them more guilt, and then it just spirals out of control. And yeah, I mean, I was always like on top of things in school. Like I always like did all my homework and everything. So I didn't really experience this in school, but in the past couple like months in my extracurricular like Japanese lessons, which I'm skipping to record this podcast, I did find that like, as soon as I started, like if I skipped one class, then it was like so much harder to catch up with that. Then then I skipped a second one, then it's so much even harder to catch up to that. And it's just like, it spirals out of control. And I don't know, I guess I like in school didn't really have much sympathy for that because I didn't struggle with that, but like, it's really tough. And
it's two different problems. It's he sucks at school, which you never did, and he doesn't go to the Digimon meetups.
Right. He needs to like put in lots of effort in order to stay on top of school.
Mm-hmm.
But he still doesn't.
Yeah. It's like
the bigger problem, sort of.
He's got a lot of pressure from all sides, and he feels that there's no, you know, respite anywhere.
Right.
So yeah. It's not just why do we always have to fight? It's why do I constantly have to be fighting all the time with everything?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I feel like he would feel less bad in general if he was doing at least well in school. Like it's like, yeah. I have to put in all of this effort still. Like I know that, but at least I'm doing well.
Right.
Whereas he just has like nothing.
Yeah, I mean, it's like when you are good at something, that like reward you get for being good at it helps you like feel good about doing it, which then helps you keep doing, which then helps you get better at it. It's another vicious cycle. And like when you're mediocre at it, then like there's not much incentive to keep at it to get better, to ever get over the mediocre hump.
And you there's no guarantee that you ever will.
Right.
I was about to say, there are genuinely things that like you're just never going to be good at.
Yeah.
No matter how hard you try.
I mean, we have the benefit of knowing from the epilogue that he does become a doctor.
Right.
But that's
a constant struggle for him. Like, if he slacks off from school by, like, doing his other Digimon stuff, like, he might just not become a doctor. Like, that's a real huge risk for him.
Mm-hmm.
Might not be able to overcome everything. And I mean, actually, I don't know how much the tension is, like, become a doctor or not. Because I feel like, is it, like, if you're able to, like, there can't really be that high of a bar to just become any kind of doctor, right? Like, I assume if he gets into a bad... What I'm saying is, if he doesn't do well in his cram school, he might end up at, like, college isn't as good, but like, is he ever going to reach a point where like, because he got into a worse college, he can't become a doctor at all whatsoever?
I think it's less that, and if he doesn't do well and doesn't get into a good school, then what makes him think that he can do well in the medical program at all?
That's a good point.
Like, if you score low on the math section of the SAT, you're not probably going to go into math in college.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of people will probably come out of this movie, you know, not, I guess, Ash, you even said that you like refreshed it with him, but for this reason, it's just like the fact that he's skipping prep school, I could see a lot of people being like, well, he's not hanging out with Digimon or going to prep school. Like, what is he even doing now? Like, what's
he's depressed. Being angsty.
Right.
Yeah. Like, I didn't have a problem with that.
Right. I sympathize with that.
There was just one fight too many.
Okay.
It's just a pacing problem for me.
But yeah, I think it's like once he started to slip from one thing, like if he starts to slip in prep school, like it doesn't make it any easier to go back to face that guilt for the Digimon stuff, you know? And it's like,
right.
It's tough. It's tough for him. And yeah, and I think one of his like biggest dilemmas is that like from his perspective, like Digimon came, like intervened in his, like came through his life once and he like gave up everything for that. You know, like they kind of had to, they were stuck in the digital world. They came back again. He like gave up some of what he was doing, but it wasn't like what he was doing wasn't that important. Well, I guess if 02 is canon, whatever, assuming it is. And now they're back again, and it's like unclear how long they're going to be there. And he's at this crossroads where he needs to focus so much on this schoolwork and stuff. And I feel like, you know, from his perspective, it would be reasonable to think like they're not going to stay here forever. So I can't just like drop everything and invest in this, because then once they're gone, then like I won't have anything for the rest of my life. And it's kind of sad because we know from the epilogue, at least, that if Digimon, like if the worlds get connected and whatever, and like he can become not just a doctor or a Digimon friend, he can become a Digimon doctor. We know he's going to find like a reconciliation between the two. But it's kind of sad because now like it makes no sense for him to be like, well, I can't choose between these two. And it's tough. And I really appreciate how much like the struggle is not as simple as he's busy, he doesn't want to do it. Like it's neither of those extremes. It's some weird gray area. And I guess it's kind of sad that some viewers have come out of that being like, oh, he's just silly and don't like Joe. But not that that's your opinion, Ash. I'm just other people.
Oh, yeah, no. But I mean, I feel like the people who are going to be like, ugh, I don't like Joe, are already people who don't like Joe. So
yeah.
Yeah. So now Mimi.
Mimi.
Okay.
So the Ogremon fight, I think, is really where she starts to show off her philosophy and wanting to set an example for the Digimon and, you know, show the media the Digimon can be good. And I find it frustrating how much of that is a good ambition and how, like, Togemon's needle spray just is, like, goes against any basic sense of tactics or strategy. You know, like, it's like there's a helicopter right there. Why would you, like, on Mimi's part, why would you, like, be okay with Togemon doing that attack? On Togemon's part, why would you think to do that attack? And also, since, like, their strategy, or Mimi's strategy, was to, like, knock Ogremon back into the distortion, which is also other sorts of unanswered questions, because, like, we didn't see the distortion to see if it was still open anymore. So, like, was that even possible? But anyway, like, Togemon is, like, a punching Digimon. Like, that should be her specialty, to punch things into things. But instead, right. She uses, like, a needle spray that has, like, tons of collateral damage. And I just find that so frustrating that it's, like, the, like, what damage she causes is based on the collateral damage. But the discussion is never, like, about that. It's never about, like, you know, use attacks that cause less collateral damage. Like, have specific targets and, you know, try to minimize damage. Instead, it's just, like, fight good or bad. Oh. Yeah. And, but so I guess, like, what Mimi takes away from that is that, well, I don't know, I think she's still at that point, like, she gets chided by Koshiro, which I don't think is fair at all. What do you guys think about Koshiro chiding her for being reckless?
I actually liked that. I'm not sure I like it coming from Koshiro. I'm still bitter at him for being so self-centered during adventure.
Yeah, that's less than I really...
But on the other hand, that kind of makes it really good, because, like, he knows, hopefully, and recognizes that in himself, but also, like, why?
Wait, I just made, like, how did I not make this connection before that, like, the dynamic that the Koshiro chiding Mimi, that's the same pair that, like, Koshiro runs to the cafe because he sees Mimi's picture. Like, yeah. For some reason, I thought that those is, like, two totally different relationships somehow. Like,
no.
Like, the Koshiro that chides Mimi is, like, you have a selfish side to you and whatever, like, is the same one that's, like, oh my god, she has legs.
Like, I mean, that makes sense.
I feel like it doesn't really connect that thread at all. Like, you know, Koshiro isn't there to, like, apologize or anything. It's just, like, he's just there because she's a sex object now. And before, she was a thing to be shot down for reckless decisions or whatever. I don't know.
I mean, his perspective was, like, I told you to wait. You could have waited a little bit more.
Well, so I find... Okay, well, I find that frustrating on many levels, because it's like, if she had waited, Ogremon would have started attacking people. The other kids couldn't get into the park anyway, so, like, once they did get there, they weren't able to help at all whatsoever.
I just find that
was weird, too.
Kind of silly, because they could have just been them. Like, yeah. Digimon evolve, and then they, like, jump over the people, and, like, who cares?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who could really stop them from getting there?
Yeah, I'm like, okay.
And it feels like the conflict with the helicopter would have been better if it was, like, you know, the helicopter was getting close, and Mimi was like, oh, this helicopter, get out of the way. Like, I want to get an attack in, but I can't because the helicopter's in the way. And, like, you know, some kind of frustration on that level.
But the whole point of her doing it was that she was like, there's a helicopter here. It's recording me.
She was like, it's good. But, like, also, if they tied that in, like, you know, made it seem like she wanted to get the helicopter closer and that's the reason. But instead it was, like, this one attack out of control. And she's like, why would you use that attack? I don't know. But it just seems like Koshiro chiding her, like, what was the, like, was what she was doing so different than what any of the other kids did in the other fights? You know, like, they destroyed an airport.
No, I think that's actually the point. I didn't think it was weird that Mimi used that attack, because it's always worked before. I mean, when it's not up against a Digimon that's too strong. But, like, the pattern is the Digimon grapple for a while, and then you use your final attack. Your real attack, and that's that. This is pointing out the holes in that strategy. Like, this is going along with Tai discovering, like, oh yeah, we cause a lot of collateral damage when we fight.
But, like, so that I really like that reading. But what I find frustrating is, like, it seems like the follow-up then should be, let's learn to not use collateral damage, or to, like, minimize collateral damage, instead of, like, let's learn to not fight, maybe?
Right. I agree.
The show's not good with gray areas.
It's really not.
but with Joe's struggles, like, totally exists solely within a gray area.
I'm not sure that's a gray area. It's just a different area. It's not on that spectrum.
Yeah.
Well, I just mean it's like, it's not, it's subtle. Like, it's not a simple argument. Whereas it seems like what they're doing here is going for the very simple, simplified argument.
I feel like in the end they simplify Joe's thing. Like, it's just like, Kari explains something to him and then he's like, okay.
Yeah.
You can't go, my man.
Yeah. It's like, you fight for your friends.
Yeah.
But that doesn't explain why your friends have to fight. But it does explain, like, why you, at this moment, have to fight. And, oh, I guess that means you're going to fight for the rest of this movie series.
I mean, that made sense to me because it's like, I feel like it seems logical and realistic to have a, like, you know, something, some external thing needs to shake things up to get someone out of depression.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's, I felt it was very real, but I'm also feeling it's very simple.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I have issues with, like, with the resolution of both of their arcs, really.
Yeah.
Like, it's frustrating how much, frustrating how much I liked their, the, like, beginning of their struggles so much, and they both resolve in these really simplistic, really frustrating ways.
Agreed. Yeah. But I'm okay with it.
So again, so like the main, the moment that really Mimi starts to cave in and lose her selfishness is when she, we didn't really talk about how she, you know, tries to theme the school festival cafe, like a Hooters or Daters, whatever off brand name they're using. And then Mako draws up designs and they start designing them, whatever, start making them. And the other girls involved in the festival planning are like, we don't want to wear this, and that's totally reasonable, and I think it is, but and they basically tell her that she's really selfish, and then she's like, okay, I guess I am, and I will not force myself on others, and then she like cancels Sora and Mako from making the costume. I don't know. I and the eventual resolution is they go to the festival and Mako is like, well, I'm wearing the costume. They made two costumes, and like, well, I'm gonna wear it because I can't, you know, they can't tell us. They can't tell me what to wear, so I'm going to wear this one and whatever. And then Mimi's resolution is like, okay, cool. Like, we'll just wear them and no one else will have to. And I just, that's so frustrating because it's like, that's how fashion always is. Like, it's this really artificial construct where they have to impose fashion on others, you know? So like this resolution that like, well, we can just wear what we want and other people can wear what they want. It's like this revelation, but it's also, that's just the normal state of things. And I don't know. I feel like what lesson did Mimi really learn from that? Did she really come out of it more or less selfish or like more reserved in ways that she forces off on others? I don't think it's really clear about any of that.
I don't think it's clear. I'd like to hope that she's more aware, at least.
That's part of why it under, like, by having Mako had been like reserved about doing it, and while she's wearing it, she's like, Mimi, I don't want to do this like cheerleading part, but like Mimi makes her do it anyway. It's only like, it's like a very half-hearted, like, okay, Mimi concedes that she probably shouldn't impose her feelings onto everybody, but also it works sometimes and you should keep doing it to your friends. Like, I don't...
Yeah. Because your friends are the ones you should bully into things.
Yeah. Because they let you bully them. Like.
Yeah. And on top of, like, her both the resolutions being really silly, it's like, Joe has a dramatic moment where he comes running back and then Goemon goes to Vikemon. And then Mimi's just like, oh yeah, you want to be selfish? I'm selfish too. Okay, let's go. And then, like, it's like her actual evolution sequence is just like she's already had this revelation, whatever, with Mako earlier. So then the fight is just like, oh yeah, me too? Okay, cool. Togemon, get up. And yeah, that was frustrating.
I mean, on some level, it's like, also what they're going for is not that they learn the lesson. It's that they learn to just be them, like, that they just accept themselves for who they are.
Yeah.
Is more how Mimi's came off.
That makes sense. That, like, yeah, that, like, she doesn't learn to, that the point isn't to be, like, more or less selfish, but to be confident in what she already had. But, like, there are legitimate questions. There are legitimate things that she should learn and grow on.
Right. And my problem was that, like, they definitely use language of, you know, Joe says that he's a coward. And they definitely frame, you know, Mimi's outgoingness as more courageous, I guess. But I just think that misses the nuance of, like, cowardice and courageousness depend upon the situation, and those options change. Like, it's just about what is hard to do in a certain situation. So, like, Mimi just constantly being outgoing and egocentric is not always the courageous thing. Like, the courageous thing would be for her to be like, cool, sometimes I need to chill out and, like, not do this.
I think the courageous thing, what I really wanted was for her to have a moment where she expresses, I was wrong and I'm sorry. Yeah. And that didn't happen. Like, she internally seemed to. I would have liked to see her externally do it.
Because it's always hard to admit that you're wrong.
Like, yeah. Yeah. And her thing is sincerity. Well, it's purity, but it's also sincerity.
And I think it also confuses it again with Mako, because it again portrays, like, Mako's struggle is that she's too quiet, usually. So it frames her courageousness as, like, giving in to Mimi's will, almost. Like, being like, I feel like she sort of did genuinely want to wear that outfit, but she definitely didn't want to be cheerleading.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, Mako's whole character at this point is kind of the, like, you know, don't want to be dragged along with me, but do kind of, you know?
Yeah.
And, yeah.
I actually really reacted to Mimi's line in the very beginning where she was like, I think Mimi had a legitimate point when she said, you know, when you're quiet and you don't say anything, you just, like, whine later that you didn't say the thing. And that she, like, detests that.
And she also said that, like, mm-hmm. she can't imagine, she can't imagine holding back what she thinks for the sake of others. And I don't know, like, I appreciate how, like, that is, that, like, when you phrase that in a certain way, like, it sounds very selfish, but also seems really admirable that, like, yeah, it's like, it's, you're lying to them if you don't express yourself in that instance, you know? So, like, it's almost doing everyone a favor by, like, being honest, even if it seems like it's detrimental to them or whatever.
I don't know. So I, like, relate to Mimi's struggle because I feel like a lot of the time I'm like, yeah, I totally do regret when I don't say something and I totally had something to say. And then you do just complain about it to people who don't have any power over the situation later and stuff.
I have no idea what this is like, Ashley. No idea listening.
Yeah.
To you talk about work things. No idea.
Yeah.
And just, like, every day you come back from work, I'm like, Ashley, did you say this to anyone at work? And you're like, no.
No, but then when I do say stuff at work, I get in trouble for not being, like, diplomatic enough about it. So,
yeah.
So, like, I feel that double-edged sword, like, pretty hard.
Yeah. And I also like that she actually really lives that. She wanted those girls to tell her she was wrong to her face.
Yeah.
That's true.
And then they did. And she, like, acknowledged it in a bad way, but... But, like, yeah, I thought that was really good. And then, like, the end was just... Bleh, bleh.
The end of this movie is just bad in all fronts.
So, yeah, and I don't know. Like, talking about courage and cowardice also made me just think of, like Tai Chi's crest is courage or whatever. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, maybe it is being more admirable now. Because, like, I feel like the show initially showed courage as just, like, him being sort of brash most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that wasn't as true in the Japanese. But now he's become more reticent and, like, I need to think about the consequences of my actions, not just,
yeah,
like...
I mean, we didn't think... it hadn't occurred to me until just now. I wish I had thought of it in the last... Like, when we were talking about chapter one, but, like, in a situation where everyone in the group is saying, we need to do this, being the one voice that says, actually, I have some reservations, is the more courageous thing.
Right.
Yeah.
And, like, posing legitimate, like... We do a lot of damage. We should probably think about that more.
Yeah.
Is a pretty admirable thing to point out.
Yes. Yeah. It's just the constant struggle of... Our struggle as the viewer's struggle is that is a legitimate concern, and they just bring it up as, like, should we fight or not?
Right. I would... Right. Yeah. It's... Yeah.
I mean, they're
not good
lack,
with nuance.
Yeah, there's
nuance.
Certainly a lack of nuance to
nuance.
Thank you.
Nuance.
I've got nuance in my pants.
Okay.
Stuff's getting really weird now. Yeah, so basically the show is bad at nuance. Nuance storytelling is pretty good. Should work on that.
Did you think the Oedo Onsen Monogatari featured in Try was a bit too over the top? Do you want something a bit more simple that reminds you of your childhood? Are you frustrated that you didn't get to see Joe's butt this time? Then you should check out Infinity Onsen Devon Monogatari. Accessible from anywhere on File Island with a short day-long hike up Infinity Mountain, Infinity Onsen Devon Monogatari is the perfect spot for weary travelers. Sure, it has Devonmon in the name. And sure, there was that incident 6 years ago where the onsen didn't actually exist. But it's totally real now. Infinity Onsen Devon Monogatari, not just a trap to murder kids, it's also a trap to murder your anxiety. We have a brand new exciting segment, Fashion Report.
Fashion Report.
I stole the title from a Gilmore Guys segment, but I assume it's just a phrase people say.
I mean, yes, it's a thing.
Okay. So what was the first thing we talked about? Koshiro's overalls?
His overalls.
Oh boy, his overalls. Oh, his overalls.
Why are you wearing that? Why? I mean, TK looks silly in his swim cap, but at least that makes sense.
Like, I mean, it doesn't. They're not swimming. Like,
I don't know. I'm going to pretend it makes somewhat of sense.
It makes sense because TK has never had fashion sense.
And yeah, he literally likes hats.
Although I guess neither has Koshiro. And he really likes hats.
But like Koshiro...
And I don't think it's a swim cap, actually. It's just a really strange hat.
I don't understand.
Koshiro had an entire array of fashion choices before. And you're like, and this and is what he chooses?
And he still does, but they're just bad.
Should have worn the crab suit. You know, I would prefer Meikumon in this samurai ninja outfit thing.
To her actual design?
Yes.
Oh, it's really cool. I really like it. She has a little sword, too.
It, like, complements her weird eyes.
Also, I think the color scheme works because it's Naruto. It's literally an orange.
So it's an orange.
Orange-colored ninja.
Yes. Palmon can definitely take that off, though. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, yeah. It's cute. It's funny to see once.
Okay. Then we have Koshiro's prophetic shirt.
So, by the way, there'll be images of these in the show notes if you want to see them. Yeah, so this shirt, it looks like a general Hawaiian shirt, but then you look up close and there are flowers, a fish, and weird little orbital things in a like black space area.
Gomamon's not a fish.
But he has
a
fish
attack. It is not a Hawaiian design. It's very Japanese.
I guess just okay, it's not Hawaiian, but like just seeing the flowers makes me think of Hawaiian. But yeah, I mean, it is like all the elements of the climactic.
Those flowers are sakura petals.
Okay, it's not.
So it's right. Still.
It's not like Gomon is literally a fish and Lilymon or Rosemon is literally a sakura petal, but like loosely.
It's clearly like, alluding to them.
It's way too close to be, way too close to not be on purpose.
I accept TK's hat in this picture.
I like that hat.
We need to give more of an argument. Just like, I accept TK's hat. Like, what does that even mean to listeners? No, we need to explain. So the next one is...
It's a good hat, listeners.
It's a good hat.
So this is the hat in...
Jeff is wrong.
This is the hat in the... When they're at the school festival. TK and Kari are... a lot of the kids are in their uniforms. The ones who are actually at school. And then TK and Kari are, they're attending the festival. So they have custom clothes. It's one of his better hats. And he's also wearing his summer.
He's wearing his summer camp thing,
which you can buy apparently.
Oh,
yeah, obviously my favorite new T-shirt.
The next one we have is Koshiro's outfit when he goes to the festival, and I didn't think it was that noticeable except like Mimi comments on it as like, "Oh, your outfit."
Yeah, why does Mimi?
It's kind of weird to wear a suit to a school festival.
Oh. Yes. I mean, it's Koshiro.
Yeah, so
I like how it's purple.
I thought the bow tie was the weird part.
The bow tie is definitely the weird part.
But like Sora's outfit has a bow tie, like her like outfit, her school uniform.
That's different. Like it's supposed to be there. This does not look like it's supposed to be there. Am I the only one having this vibe about that bow tie?
Yeah, I didn't find it weird.
I think it's a perfectly fine bow tie.
I find all formal clothes weird though. What's the next one?
Leomon as looking like Leonardo da Vinci in a stereotypical painter hat is great. I don't know.
Yeah, that definitely wins best outfit.
Yeah, I actually want to compare.
Right here.
Leonardo. Wait, it's Leo. Oh my god. We cracked it.
Did you just get that?
I did just get it. Oh my god, that is totally... I was like, you're making... Actually, it's not that much of a painter hat, but no, it totally...
You're like, it totally is.
And like the beard is the same.
Yeah.
So in the show notes,
the hair
thing.
In the show notes, we'll have this image of Leonardo da Vinci. That it is like eerie how like they made like the posing too very similar.
Oh, you got like a picture. Wow, nice.
Oh, very good.
Oh, Leonardo da Vinci. Someone should edit Digimon Maki just to be like Leonardo da Vinci. Like Leomon doesn't come from a lion; it comes from Leonardo da Vinci.
Yeah.
Okay, what's this next one? Oh, the next one is just Leomon with like his full outfit gear.
I don't know how he got away with walking down the street like that. Like even in Japan, I don't believe it.
And this is with all the Digimon climbing on his back. Like some of them are under the coat and some of them are on top of the coat, and it's just like it looks so ridiculous.
They're like, we're just two cats just chilling.
What is Patamon supposed to be?
I don't know.
What is Patamon? It's been 15 years.
He's a pig with bat ears.
That's what?
He is literally the sound of flapping wings.
Mm.
Oh.
Pada-pada.
Yeah.
Pada-pada.
Yeah. Okay.
Pada-pada?
Yeah.
Pada-pada?
Pada-pada.
Oh, I forgot to mention when we got to the Digimon outfits, the Meikumon and Palmon, like, where did those outfits come from? They just walked out of nowhere and they're like, oh yeah, we just had these outfits. Like, did they, what?
The implication is that they got them from either Mimi or Meiko's room to come meet them for french fries.
Which is a great meal.
Yeah.
A great date.
It was a great reason.
We need to go eat french fries.
Speaking of dates, these daters' outfits.
Yes.
They're bad.
I kind of expected worse.
Bad?
Yeah.
They're generic.
The colors are bad. Actually, you can't tell me the colors aren't bad.
I accept this outfit.
It's orange and purple.
It is like, it's weirdly pastel or like muted kind of.
Yeah, like there's weirdly not enough purple to bother me.
It's like, it's like weirdly muted, kind of like pastel, like the.
It's bad. I don't like it.
Pastel?
Like,
it's not pastel.
I don't know where Jeff is going. My point was just that there's not enough purple to bother me. I mostly am like, Mimi's pom-poms don't match the rest. That's fine.
That is true. That is making it worse in this picture.
Yeah.
I've never understood matching. Like, I just don't understand what.
I've seen much better cheerleading outfits than this.
Are you insulting Mako's fashion design abilities?
It's not that. It's the colors.
It's okay. Jeff is colorblind. He doesn't understand.
Oh, that's true.
If they wanted a better color scheme, they should have just gone with orange and blue.
No, they should have gone with, like, if they have to use orange, then they could also put, like, gold and black.
This is, like, fashion fan fiction.
I think the usually avoid orange.
Yeah, orange is not, but sometimes you can't because sometimes those are your school colors.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah, like I'm really hoping the school's colors aren't orange and purple because that's awful.
Let's move on to Joe's outfit when he comes to the school.
What is wrong with his outfit? He's just wearing
his outfit's
shirt.
Pretty good, yeah.
I didn't say anything's wrong with it. I like it. It's a nice outfit.
Yeah, it's a good outfit.
Nice color.
I mean, Joe has more fashion sense than the rest of the DigiDestin combined, apparently.
Honestly, that looks like something I would wear on a normal day.
Yeah, that's like normal people clothes.
Normal people clothes.
The color complements his hair and the bag he has. I'm just talking like someone who can see correct colors.
Like
colors. It does actually match his hair and his bag. He is very coordinated.
Yes, he is pretty.
It actually matches his glasses too, I think.
Yeah. He's like muted shades of blue are good for the Joe.
Yes. And he's wearing khaki pants probably. I don't remember.
Wait, his shirt isn't purple?
It's purple-ish, like, it's indigo maybe. Like a pale.
It's very
not
light.
Pale.
Yeah.
It's not very saturated, so it's hard to say for sure if it's more blue or more purple.
It's, well, one could say it's a league of indigo and a palette town.
Yeah. I would actually call it, it's cadet blue.
A saffron city.
All right. Enough of your filthy Pokemon references.
It didn't even make sense for like two out of three of them. So Stray Bits. Like on the last episode, I said Stray Bits and then someone else said pew pew pew. And
pew pew pew.
First thing I had written down was about the opening sequence. And it felt very similar, but not too similar to the first movie. Like, I'm just wondering how much of that is how much of it is an intentional parallel? Because, I mean, first movie opened with a Digi-Egg being, like, constructed or fertilized. And second movie ends with the Digi-Eggs being destroyed. And, like, the way that the data kind of flows out of the Digi-Eggs as they're, when they're, like, sitting there decaying or whatever, it looks very similar to the Digi-Egg that was having data enter it. So I don't know. That might just be, like, visual symmetry and not really have any intended meaning behind it. But, like, I'm wondering, like, maybe they were implying, like, because the Digi-Egg with the, like, destroyed and having the hole looked very similar to the egg before it was fertilized. So I'm like, are these destroyed Digi-Eggs going to be fertilized and become corrupted Digimon or infected Digimon or whatever? Who knows? And I mean, also just what makes me wonder, like, does, like, Ken or Emperor Kaiser or whatever seemed very involved in that primary village scene? So, like, does that mean he's also involved in the Demiurge idea stuff? Who knows? Just thoughts. So the line from the beginning, the cryptic line, was, all were born out of the scorching heat, beings that create, those that destroy, coexisting, yet mutually opposed, both created the entire universe, finally to return to the scorching heat. So it's definitely continuing that trend of, like, a duality you know, like beings that opposed and both create the entire universe and whatever. My first thought upon hearing that was like, well, I mean, they obviously show Primary Village like in flames. That's the obvious connection for scorching heat. But the other thing I thought of was the firewall from the end of Adventure. And I forget exactly what they say about that adventure, but like Apocalypse is supposed to have come from beyond the firewall, and like, which is like where all data goes when it's deleted or whatever. So I'm like, And then it says, and it said finally return to the scorching heat. So I'm like, And the other thing that made me think about that was the quote unquote prophecy that Koshiro gets, Digivolution. Where is it? The two sides of the universe are like two sides of the same coin. Those who desire true power must know the darkness and go beyond. So, I mean, that also seems very Idea Demiurge-esque with two sides of a universe and like the idea being whatever, like shadow, like the real world being a shadow of idea and whatever. But also like knowing true power must know, to desire true power, you must go beyond darkness. Also makes you think of going beyond the firewall. And makes you wonder, like, maybe that space where they fought was beyond the firewall. It does, like, kind of remind me of the, like, negative space there with Apocalypse, but only in, like, loose, abstract sense. I wrote this down because I'm just curious if listeners have any information about this, but there's a TV Tropes page all about the term sacrificial lion, which is just a...
So, is it just Leomon?
No, it's in lots of things. Leomon is one of the only two examples I can find that's actually a literal lion.
Oh. Is the other one Aslan?
Yes. But yeah, so I mean, the term is basically, it's in contrast to a sacrificial lamb, which is like, you know, a cute, cuddly character that's destroyed to motivate the characters, primary characters. And by contrast, sacrificial lion is generally presented as like a strong guiding character that is like, you expect really competent, who is also killed to motivate the primary characters. But I'm just really curious about this because like TV Tropes doesn't really list like the etymology or the history of this terminology. So I'm like, did it come about because of things like Leomon and Aslan?
No. That one's just clearly a case of sacrificial lamb, sacrificial lion. Like lambs and lions are associated in a lot of like biblical references.
Mm-hmm. So you think something like the idea of a sacrificial lamb came first, and then like both this terminology and the imagery in Lion, the Witch, the Wardrobe and Digimon both pulled from like being the reverse?
I think those images came about independently of the sacrificial lamb idea at all, and but the sacrificial, like the name sacrificial lion as a trope came from sacrificial lamb. Mm-hmm. That is what I am saying.
Yeah, that makes more sense.
Yeah.
I guess I should mention this, my favorite things, but like I really appreciate how the Digimon, most of the Digimon we see are just like completely in the open with their parents, with the kids' parents. They're just like hanging out. They're just there. It actually makes me curious though, like why in 02 were they so concerned about, like what reasons do they have to be so concerned about letting their parents know that they were about in 02 that don't exist now? I don't know if there's anything to pull from that, if it's just like sloppy writing.
I don't think it's sloppy writing. Well, maybe in 02's case, but...
Yeah, that's the point.
I think my justification for it was that they didn't want to worry their parents again, which is stupid, but...
Wait, so but why are they okay wearing them now?
They're older now.
I don't know, but it also just seems so contradictory to the main struggle in this being that, like, most people are like, the Digimon are bad, and I guess their parents are supposed to know better, but, like, at the same time, their kids have the most... at stake of getting hurt and stuff, so I don't know.
Yeah, it seems really like much more in the open about this than ever, when it's like they seem they can come back to them more than ever.
Yeah,
that makes sense. But at least the cute scenes where they're in the open, at least.
Also, but Joe's mom was like cold to go, man. She's like, she's studying.
Joe's mom reminded me of like the way you would approach like a kid's friend who like wants to hang out, and she's just like, well, my kid's studies are more important than you. Sorry. You know? And like, I also find it so weird that like they're just like sitting there while Goemon's cooking the ramen. Like, that was so weird to me. And they're like watching TV and they're kind of occupied, but it's just like, this is a weird scene. This is a weird thing to be going on.
It was weird.
So I complained a lot about how I think my experience in the movie would have been heightened if I didn't go into it expecting Ken Imperial Jamon to have been, like, the fact they're already teased made me expect this to be more than a tease. But I actually think having seen Meikumon be kidnapped in the trailer made, like, heightens a lot of things in this movie. There are, I think, two different fake-outs where, like, there's so much more tension when you think she's going to be kidnapped right then. That, like, if you didn't know that was coming, you might just be like, okay, whatever. I think it's in particular, like, in the onsen, there's a really scene that seems like she's about to be kidnapped. And then Maki's hands come out of, like, it's very ominous that you're like, this is the moment.
Because Maki can't be trusted.
Yes, we'll get to that in our looking forward segment. Oh, Maki. Or no, maybe not. Anyway, Yeah, it's weird that Mako and Mei Kuman both refer to each other as Mei. Super weird.
It's pretty weird.
It was cute how the Digimon are so childish in the movie, but like, I don't know, they're just, it's weird. I think it's first time.
Oh, sorry, go on. I've been waiting to bring that up, actually.
Do you think it's a good thing or a bad thing?
I think it's a fascinating thing, writing-wise, actually, because the Digimon are not actually acting differently from how they acted in Adventure. But because the kids are older, we perceive it really differently. And not just because the kids are older. I think it also is because they're in the real world now, and like, there are the consequences of actions are things that we can anticipate much more readily than like being silly in the digital world.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause like, who knows what'll happen in the digital world? So like,
marching fishes.
Right. So like, I've been thinking about this a lot because, and I think the subtitles are doing us a gross disservice by translating, the kids as the Digidestined, because Joe's problem is growing up. He keeps referring to himself as to the group as the chosen children. Mm. He's like, okay, but we can't be children anymore.
Yeah.
And like, that's so...
Oh man, mind blown.
Yeah.
We're done.
So I hope to see more of that coming up. And I think it's great to see that in the Digimon. Like, it's not just a question of do we fight or not? It's a question of do we leave Digimon behind? Is this childish for us now? And like, that's a big thing to address in an anniversary milestone thing.
Can we be chosen children if we're not children anymore?
Exactly.
Oh, man.
And obviously Joe's got the brunt of that because he's the oldest.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
He's like the, like when birds are in a flying formation, there's like the one in the front of the V who like faces and like they rotate. So that one always, you know, is facing the brunt of the wind. It's like that, except they don't get to rotate. He's always in the front.
Okay.
Did anyone else notice that the Digivolution sequence has, like, been upgraded since the last movie, and it has all sorts of, like, extra random things in the background now? And also, the like, when the ring goes over the Digimon, it, like...
Yeah, I was distracted by the ring.
Yeah.
I was looking at the background.
Like, the ring used to be just, like a yellow-ish thing, but now it's, like, has, like, you know, it's gold and, like, has, like, the Digivolution text on it in different languages and stuff.
Yeah, it's like they had an extra... How many months has it been since part one?
Four? Yeah.
It's like they had time to, like, fix it or something.
I think it looks worse now. It's, like, so cluttered and there's stuff everywhere.
It's really distracting to watch the ring come down over them.
Oh, did anyone else find it... I'm curious if this is only weird because I looked into it more. If you guys found it weird, just, like, without looking into it. The whole use of the term and the subtitles translating it literally as Jikochu instead of just saying selfish or whatever. Or the weirdness that, like, Mimi didn't know what this term meant. And then, like, she kept referring to it, and it kept being called back later. You know, I find that weird.
No, I found that good.
I kind of assumed it was some sort of Japanese slang that had come up while she had been in America that she didn't understand.
Yeah. Mm, okay, that makes sense. I mean, yeah. I guess I only found it weird because I looked into it, and it's like the word. It's slang because it's short. It's like a shortened form, but it's like only short by one character. It's like the word they're using is Jikochu, and the word that she understands, which is what they use to explain it to her, is Jikochushin. And then they also say Jikochushin Teki. Like, it's just like, and I just found it weird because, like, the subtitles didn't say, like, they said, it means annoying and self-centered, but, like, they could just say, like, it's short for this. I don't know. I just found it weird to be, like, the fact that, yeah, it makes sense that she doesn't know it because she was in America. I kind of forgot that aspect of it, that, like, slang evolves over pretty rapidly and... Yeah. I'm really frustrated about the whole ambiguousness. They approach Liomon and Ogremon, and, like, no one asks them if they are the same Liomon and Ogremon ever. It's just, like, super unclear. It's just like, whatever, no one really cares.
I think they just assume they are.
Yeah, the only sign I got was, like, Mimi's one line where she's like, even if it's infected, it's still Ogremon, which, like, that could mean it's the same. She thinks the same one. That could mean she thinks the same one and she's wrong. It could mean she's just like, well, any Ogremon has an emotional connection to me. So many. Yeah, I guess you're right. Like,
but there's a lot of illusions that it is the two of them, because the opening scene, which has Primary Vision and Elecmon, I think Liomon does talk about their rivalry, like it was...
Yeah, so it does seem to indicate the same ones.
It doesn't make it good writing, but
right.
it tries.
I definitely got vibes that it was the same Leomon.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely the same Leomon.
Yeah, I guess there's like a clear answer it's leaning towards. Just wish anyone had been clear about it.
Okay.
Did anyone else notice the when Izzy gets the, or Koshiro gets the email with the cryptic digicode message, what it shows later with Maki?
Yeah, she was looking at
She was looking at the same message, sipping a cup of tea. So I thought there were two different ways to read this, that like she got the same message, also emailed to her, and it just showed, like, Koshiro got it and he's like frantically trying to decode it and stuff, and her sipping a cup of tea could just be like, you know, the contrast that she's more cool and collected and like knows what's going on, has subordinates look into it and whatever, or it could mean that she sent it.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if Maki sent it at this point.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be shocked if Maki sent it. I also wonder if maybe she's been, like, monitoring Koshiro's emails.
Also nefarious.
Yeah. That could also tie into Hackmon.
She has a firewall.
Everything's from beyond the firewall.
No, but Izzy has his own has his own firewall.
Yeah, well, wouldn't it be nice for Izzy to be taken down a peg or two with his confidence?
There was definitely an implication that like it is going to be broken because Hackmon was listening to that conversation,
right? Yeah. It was like Izzy or Kusher was talking about his firewall or servers or whatever, and then it like turns to Hackmon while he's talking about it,
and Hackmon is right there.
Which I also found super awkward because like it end that scene ends with like Leomon running to go look out the window, and it's never brought up or addressed or mentioned or anything. Like, it's just like, did Leomon sense that? I believe he did.
Yeah.
Does Leomon know Hackmon? Did Leomon just like have a suspicion?
Leomon smelled him with his beast nose.
All I'm saying is I just want to read the Leomon and Hackmon doujinshi.
Okay.
What?
Exactly. Did anyone? Wait, okay. Two more small things. The song animation, whatever. It's not really animation. It's more like a frame. The ending song that it pans around. Ash and I discussed this when we watched it when we watched it the first time. But like, they look so weird and young and like just strange.
And come hither.
They look really weird. It's like they pasted the same face and just edited a little bit.
Oh yeah.
Like it's really weird. I really, yeah.
They're like also like super tempting. They're like, look at us, we're boys. It's
come on, you know you want us.
Weird and nonsense. We're wearing yukata. Ikakumon's 3D model in his Digilution, I thought was the worst one. Not because like the CG just looks bad. I think it's just like his model, just like he like kind of derpily, like, I don't know if you know, like his ending pose is really weird. Yeah,
his ending pose is weird, but I think Lilymon's art was worse for some reason.
Actually, did you notice that once they got past the ultimate, they went to a standard, I mean, a 2D animation?
No, I think like the perfect and ultimate evolutions, like everything aside from the champion ones, were like their CGI was only in the champion, right?
Yes.
Yeah. But did you notice that they basically did the opposite of adventure?
Yeah, it's like they went back to 2D for that, which is, I'm really confused because at the time, I assume that like in the adventure time frame, CGI was like the more expensive, fancier looking thing. And then now it's the cost saving thing, right?
Well, the thing is, back when adventure came out, they were doing digital animation, which was also very new for Japan.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that reminds me. There's like a special airing on NHK World tonight. That's like a behind the scenes, like in English, behind the scenes special about the animation of Digimon Adventure Tri, which I'm really excited for. So if you're listening to this, it's probably out by now. And I heard it's supposed to be like online, easy to watch. So that'll be really exciting to watch. My last comment. Oh, actually, no. Like, what about the other Digilusions? I thought the ultimate / perfect evolutions were a lot cooler than I expected. The like where they go through the crest.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, that kind of brings up another question.
Like the crests in general?
Yeah. Just what is going on with the crests?
Yeah, I imagine at this point it's like things have kind of just been reset. It's been so long.
We don't know. We messed up by getting rid of the crests. We're just gonna pretend we didn't do that anymore.
I mean, the crests, I always interpret that as to mean like, you know, what's destroyed is the physical crests, and what they had inside them was right. the trait, and or not the trait, but like the like a metaphysical power, and they give up that magical power, and then Azulamon at some point returns it back to them or whatever, and that it's still like associated with a shape. So I still make some sense of that, but I think in general things have just been like kind of reset because Koshiro is the only one who even cares about that at this point, which is also frustrating. But did anyone notice any tri themes at all, like 3 related anything.
Nope.
The only thing I can think of is that, like, the framing of, like, 2 Mega or Ultimate Evolutions against 1 enemy.
That's really pushing it.
Right. It's like, that's 3 total. And it also, like, it applied for the last movie, too, with, like, you know, if you consider, like, Omegamon being 2 of them. But, like, it also, it seems like such a frustrating cop-out to me if that's what they're going for, is this, like, 3 theme. Because, like, it's almost like using the same, like, for 0-2, they could have, like, 2-on-1 and, like, DNA Digivolutions tie into, like, a 2 theme. And then to also use 2-on-1 as a 3 theme, like, yeah, that's a stretch. So, like, maybe those will be more later on. And I remember at the first movie, there was speculation about, like, there being, like, 3 sides to the fight. But, like, at this point, we're just like, we don't know how many sides there are. There are, like, at most, what's the most we can think of? Like, 6?
Maybe there's just 3 steps to the plot. So we're,
like, we finished phase 1?
No, we finished phase, oh, wait, that would make more sense. No, but I was like, maybe the first half is 3 steps, and then the second half will be another 3 steps.
Hmm.
Like, part 1 is about Megumon, and then who knows what part 2 would be.
Yeah, like, if there's going to be something, I keep being like, if there's an alternate reality, like, things have to be reset at some point, and, like, I'm just really worried about that, because, like, all this character buildup we've had, is it going to be erased? But I guess if they did something like that, like, at the end of the third movie, would make some sense to be, like, 2 chunks of 3. But who knows? This episode of Podigious is brought to you by Ambiguous Smiles. Because why not lead fans on for months of speculation based on a slight curve of a single line? Okay, so looking forward, I guess the biggest thing I want to talk about is Maki's smile.
Sure was a thing.
Wait, so did everyone, who did or not catch the smile while watching?
I caught it.
I did not catch it.
I caught it, but I wasn't sure and I went back.
Yeah, Andrew,
yeah.
Your comment when you shared with me, Andrew, was like, is this intentional, right?
Yeah, because it didn't really make sense at first.
It doesn't. I also think that there's something, like, very condemning about the whole production that we're, like, I think that's a reasonable reaction to be, like, is this intentional? Which is, like, really sad for something this major to be, like, we don't know. Maybe it was intentional.
It's just, I don't know where anyone is going with anything and tries.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And, like, she did seem very, like, sincerely distressed about leaving Meikumon by her. Do we know Meikumon's a girl? Yeah, Mei-chan, right? So, leaving Meikumon by herself.
But Digimon don't have genders.
Oh.
Also, Chan's a term you can go with guys. I mean, less commonly.
It's
just
less
all
common.
Our signals lead to believing female.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if they were ever explicit about it.
So I really don't know what she's smiling about.
Right. When I rewatched it, I was expecting to go and find something. Because, like, in the abstract, it is pretty sinister. It's like, she finds Meikumon, you know, picks her up with the arms that are, like, signaling that it's being kidnapped. Or whatever, but that's whether or not it's a red herring, up for debate, whatever. Red herring. Anyway, and then she takes her to a place and then leaves her there to get food when she could just brought her to get food. There's no real reason to leave her alone. So, like, that made me be like, okay, I'm really skeptical. And we watched it, and, like, but she's generally really concerned. Like, she drops the 2 crepes that she got, maybe, but also that's, like, a pretty easy way to act. Like, you're really concerned? So...
I don't know. She seemed really concerned.
Right, she seemed really concerned.
And she didn't seem to like Ichijoji, whoever he is.
I don't know who that is.
Ichijoji
Ken.
Ichijoji.
And so, like, the frame before that, like, right before this, when she, like, before it becomes a smile, it's like a really distraught, like, shocked open mouth, you know, and it just kind of settles into this weird smile that could have been accidental. So, like, I don't know. She also, like, it could be turning everything up on its head. It could be that, like, Leomon was infected, but Meikumon looks so evil when it happens.
I mean, I think Leomon was infected, and Meikumon was reacting to something in that, but we're getting into speculation, and I really...
You don't want to speculate at all?
I don't like speculating, but...
And we have, like, 6 months.
Yeah, I guess we kind of have to speculate, since we're not going to have anything for 6 months, but...
Actually, isn't it almost 7?
I don't know. You're asking me to do math. To be
free. It's 6 plus 10 days.
Isn't it, like, that's terrible.
Yeah.
Because I'm wondering if Hackmon is not a bad guy.
Hackmon is, like, such an unknown at this point. Like, because there's Hackmon, there's also Alphamon, there's the 0-2 kids, yeah. there's so many, like, Hakumon was, like, surveying Meikumon before, it seemed.
Yeah, the way that can be a creepy thing. I mean, it is a creepy thing. And it can also be a, like, watching over her thing.
If I had to guess, if I had to make a prediction at this point, I would predict that Hakumon is affiliated with Maki's organization and is, like,
really?
Gathering intel for them. And that, like, because, like, they've talked about, you know, keeping an eye on Meikumon, like, maybe that is what the eye is.
But you also have to keep in mind that Hakumon technically is a royal knight.
Yeah, that... I also have no idea whether if they're going to go down that route. I've seen some valid, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, predicted? Not predicted, but, like, when you, like, some valid anticipated weariness since the royal knights are kind of getting overplayed at this point. Like, Exevolution, Frontier, Savers... Cyber Sleuth, it's like anytime there is a villain, a major world-changing villain, it's Royal Knights in the past several Digimon franchises.
It's always the Royal Knights.
They weren't in Cross Wars or Hunters. It's like the one exception in the past 15 years or something. Yeah, I think it's like the... yeah, anyway. And after having played Cyber Sleuth, like, I kind of find it weird for Hakumon to be involved in the Royal Knights without any Gankuumon, you know, like... Because from what I understand, like, Hakumon / Chessmon's involvement in the Royal Knights is always tied to being a protege for Gankuumon. I kind of hope they don't go down the Royal Knights route with this, because it's just, like, so many more players introduced, and they already have too many players.
Yeah, there's already way too many players, and it's only been two episodes.
Does anyone have, like, predictions, something you really think is going to happen that you want to set in stone?
Well, actually, why don't we mention the poster?
Yeah, we haven't really talked about the poster at all. I thought it would come up naturally, but yeah, so the poster has it's a yellow background with, and we just have a blurry copy at this point. We don't have a, like, actual official release. It's like a screenshot. No, it's a camera phone picture of a movie screen. And it's Takeru and Koshiro. And Koshiro is with, what's his name? Hercules Kabutarimon? Takeru is there with Patamon, not with Seraphimon. So, and also what seems to be Meikumon, or maybe an evolved form of Meikumon. Unclear if it's...
It probably evolves further.
Right, it probably evolves, but, like, it looks similar to the mode Meikumon, which is, like, fully evil mode at the end of this movie. But it's hard to see, it's still blurry.
It probably becomes a Mega somehow.
Eventually.
With the power of darkness. Oh, yeah. Did we even mention the
Digivice?
Yeah.
No.
That was interesting.
I was wondering when we saw that, like...
Did you know... No, but did you notice the color it became?
Mm-hmm.
It became black, right?
Black, yeah. And red.
It became... Yeah.
What is black and red significant? What is the significance?
Well, it's very similar to Ken's.
That's what I thought.
Well, it's also similar to Kuya's, but whatever.
Yeah, his is red and black. Okay, there's a difference.
More like to Kuya, because I don't know who that... that's a bad joke. Also, I know who he is, so...
Don't talk.
Yeah, I shouldn't talk. I was wondering when we saw it, like, I was like, oh, is this the first time we actually seen her Digivice? Like, has it been hiding in plain sight? But no, she actually, when she was introduced, she showed it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was fine.
Basically, it did exactly what the kids' Digivices do. It changed color.
Oh, like when they go to, when the crest activates.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And it had a design on it where it was, like, Meikumon's, like, DNA-like... strands, I guess.
It looked like it was, like, locked. You know, like, it was like a lock on the Digivice, which I thought was cool looking. That was the thing that happened.
So yeah, there's just a lot of questions right now.
So many questions. And I really, really sincerely hope that Imperial Digimon and Ken aren't just, like, left behind, like, oh yeah, that was the thing that happened. And, like, you know, in movie 6 they explain where these random apparitions came from or something like that. Like, that would be so mad. My only prediction is that, like, I'm at this point leaning towards the firewall from the end of Adventure playing into things. I would also, even though it's my prediction, I would also be very surprised that happened, because, like, it was such a random kind of, like, thing that came out of nowhere just for the end of Adventure and didn't even come up in 02 at all. So, like, for them to actually bring that back in would be really bizarre, but that's what I'm leaning towards. Any other predictions or hopes?
I hope Itchy Joji is not actually Ken. That's my hope.
Yeah, at this point, my, like, leading theory on that is that they've, something's happened that, like, the timeline is altered such that they defeated the Joan Emperor, Kaiser, whatever, and then, like, the events after that diverged, and they didn't become friends with him or, like, reconcile, so they kind of remember him at the height of being the Joan Emperor, and, like, that's why it's him again, whatever. But I'm, like, more fearing that, like, I don't want that to be the case. You know, like,
If that's the case, how does Imperial Digimon exist?
Dark Digivolution?
Dino Beamon, which is a legitimate evolution line for, I guess, that.
In the games.
I don't know. It's confusing.
Yeah. I mean, Oh, I guess what I just said doesn't make sense, because not only does Imperial Jamon exist, but like one of the characters, I think Tiker Kari, mentioned that they acknowledged they knew Imperial Jamon somehow. Mm-hmm. I forget how, but so that doesn't quite make sense. Actually, you've been quiet in the hope prediction front.
You know what I mean?
We don't like having expectations, Jeff, because they always get shut down.
I know, but what else can you do?
Wait patiently.
Get into other things, yeah.
If anything, I just hope this isn't... I mean, if they're doing alternate realities, I just hope it's not something along the lines of Little Busters. In which it's one of the characters hoping and thus creates an alternate reality. Why are you responding?
Because I already know about that.
How do you know?
Because I roleplay with a Haruka.
That's unfortunate.
She's great.
I'm sure. But yeah, I just hope it's not something along those lines.
Hmm.
They woke up and it was all a dream.
And it was all TK.
Great.
Please do not let that be what confession is. But that also doesn't make any sense. But then again, try doesn't make any sense so far.
Our penultimate segment, recommendation articulation.
I accept this one.
I was like, this is one of the more acceptable ones. I'm considering sticking on this for a while. Because, like, I don't like the word, like, plug seems like something that you're, like, you know, you're plugging your own stuff. Or, like, promoting your own thing, not, like, promoting something you think people would enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
So Ashley, what recommendation do you want to articulation?
This is so hard. You assume that I start new things when I don't.
Yeah, really.
I don't think it's true. You like
it could be old things.
Yeah, it can be old things. Also, you listen to you like every day. There's new iTunes stuff in my library. I'm like, no, Ashley, stop. You're pushing down Hamilton.
That
I can't find Hamilton
true.
Anymore.
I will actually go. I don't think I've plugged this before. I will tell everybody to read The Fifth Wave. I cannot speak to its movie adaptation. I've heard it's bad. I have not watched it. I don't know. But the book is like, you know, YA is always like not that good on the actual words front. Like the stories are good, but like the authors don't put that much feeling into the words. But The Fifth Wave is actually pretty lyrical and has a lot of action. Like it's cool. I like it.
Andrew, what recommendation do you want to articulation?
Can you stop that also?
is it like nails on a chalkboard for grammar?
Yes.
Because like I was like, okay, I'm going to say what recommendation do you want to articulate? And like it doesn't rhyme anymore.
Ugh.
Okay, Andrew, right. what do you want to recommend?
Sorry. I guess Zootopia.
Oh.
It was very good. I second this recommendation.
I literally can't think of anything else right now.
I'm frustrated they haven't seen it yet.
I guess it's
itching to see it.
I saw it opening day.
I guess it's telling that I didn't recommend The Boy and the Beast.
Oh, yeah. Mm. So, yeah. So Zootopia is good, I've heard.
Yes.
It is very good.
It's fantastic.
I keep hearing that. I'm like, I guess I don't like the anamorphic. Is that the right word? Anamorphic animal?
Anthropomorphic.
Anthropomorphic. I don't like the anthropomorphic.
Anamorphic is something very different.
Well, I didn't like anamorphs that much either, so. but yeah, I guess I don't like the anthropomorphic?
Yes.
I don't really like the anthropomorphic aesthetic that much.
But it's a very good movie. Mm. And then I will recommend, if I haven't already, Miraculous Ladybug.
No.
Which is...
We're like,
okay, I guess I have.
Like, what is this?
Which, it's a collaborative effort between a French studio, a Korean studio, and Toei, I believe.
It is Toei.
Never heard of Toei.
I know it's Toei. I'm not 100% on France and Korea, but it reminds me of Sailor Moon in a lot of ways. A lot of really good ways. And, you know, it's like for small children, and you're not going to get much depth out of it, really. But what you do find is beautiful, and it's fun, and it's about two superheroes in Paris, and they're in middle school.
And they're nerds.
And they don't know each other's identities. And she likes the guy in real life, but he likes superhero her.
Oh no, this sounds like the plot of Sword Art Online.
What? Not even close.
And she is a ladybug and he is a cat.
And everyone is nerds.
And the way they treat, you know, the stuff that makes the evil figure of the day is actually really cool, I think.
Cool. Mm-hmm. I'm really confused just, like, looking at promotional artwork for something that is, like, I mean, it's not all from Japan, but it's partially from Japan, and it has the Eiffel Tower, not Tokyo Tower, and I'm like, this is wrong.
Yeah, it's very much in Paris.
Mm.
And you can, it's airing in Korean, in French, and in English now. Actually, I'm not sure it's actually airing in Japanese.
It's airing in Spanish, too, apparently.
Oh, is it?
Hmm.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I don't know where, but I've heard people complaining that it's not a good dub or something.
People are always complaining about it not being a good dub.
And then for Japan, it was originally going to be a TV show as well, but they're just planning an OVA now.
So my plug this week is a show on, I think it's on CW, called Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, which sounds like a terrible name for anything. It sounds sexist, ableist, everything.
You've been tweeting about that a lot.
Yeah. So I think I had first heard about it. I think actually when we interviewed Brian Beacock, he mentioned it. Like, he was like, oh, I have a friend who's working on the show. And I was like, okay, whatever. This show is probably not going to be very good. And then, like, I heard lots of buzz about it after it came out. And it was like, people saying it's surprisingly good. And I think it won a bunch of Golden Globes. One of those types of awards. And yeah, I mean, I started watching it recently. It's surprisingly good. It's like, it's weird because it's like corny and hokey and like, it's a musical drama. So it's like, there are two musical numbers in each episode and they're like, kind of like overly cheery. And it's like, it's not like the music in Hamilton is like, I feel like I kind of think like a lot of people, really wide range of people would love this. I don't feel like is as strong as that, but it's just like, it has lots of heart. It is really sweet. It's, you know, not the most feminist as in troubling aspects from a feminist perspective, but it's pretty cool from a lot of different angles. One of the things that Andrew alluded to that I've been tweeting about recently is that it's like one of like the few examples that I can think of like overt bisexuality in television. And especially in like the latest episode, which I guess is outdated because there's one coming out tonight. But the one before the latest episode in that case, you know, like had a subplot in a song specifically about someone coming out as bisexual and like, which is not something that's usually ever presented in media and TV, mainstream TV. So that's cool. It's also like pretty ethnically diverse and yeah, it's cool.
I would say from hearing only a couple songs, I appreciate its brand of on the nose sort of humor.
But it's also like humor. I'm like, a lot of times I cringe. I'm like, that was too silly.
It's both like so bad that it's like, it's definitely like, it's too on the nose, but it's still like, you appreciate it.
Yeah.
Because it's like trying to be over the top and ridiculous.
So thanks for listening to the episode. I hope you enjoyed our discussion. And now our secret code word for another entry into the Try Giveaway extravaganza is ramen. So email potedges@gmail.com with the secret code word ramen and we'll give you an entry. And also something we forgot to mention in the podcast is that Ashley and I were on our friend May's podcast, Lost in Translation Mount, another Digimon podcast comparing the dub and sub versions of the main Digimon anime. And we were talking about Try and it was, I think, a fun episode. And so if you want to hear us talk more about it, you should go check that out. Just Google Lost in Translation Mount. So now we'll end the show, like we end every episode, with a quote from Jaden Smith and Willa Smith from the interview, New York Times, several years ago, which we'll hold over their heads forever. Jaden said, "There's a theoretical physicist inside all of our minds, and you can talk and talk, but it's living." Let us know what you thought about this episode in our comments at podedges.com/T2.0, or check out podedges.com to get detailed notes for all the characters, links, and media we referenced. In addition to general episode comments, there are lots of other ways you can be included in our next feedback episode.
Leave us a voicemail answering our question of the week. This week's question is, who should have won the Creepy Cube contest and why? You can either call 913-CALUMON or send an audio recording to poddigious@gmail.com and keep them under 90 seconds to be included on air. If you don't feel comfortable sharing your voice, write out your response and Robot Mom will read it on air.
Leave a review in iTunes for us to transgarble.
For all feedback, if you prefer to remain private, just mention that you don't want your name read on air, and Tumblr asks there's an easy way to send feedback anonymously.
Podigious is made possible with the support from our awesome Patreon: Amanda Anjewoman, Andre LeDucman, David Graumann, Eric Angemon, Joe Keto, Jack, Santa Agumon, Kailunamon, Sam Kruagamon, and Stevie Patamon.
If you want to become a Patreon and support the show, you can join Patreon Party, our private Slack chat group, for $1 a month. You can get monthly stickers for $5 a month, and you can get early episodes for $10 a month. We also have a lot more rewards and goals, so check out patreon.com/podigious.
You can find us on Twitter, Tumblr, or Facebook to keep up with the Digimons and get funny images and gifts related to the show. You can find me on Twitter at JeffOnlyJeff. You can find Ashley.
AshMcGee00 on Twitter.
And Asher.
You can find me at AsherDashery at Tumblr.
And Andrew.
You can find me at FandomCellosDeath at Tumblr.com.
You can also find links to all of our social media accounts at Podigious.com. Our special Joe and Mimi artwork for Try Chapter 2 is by Mero05 on Tumblr.
Share the podcast with your friends who feel like they have too much going on in their lives and don't have time for Digimon, but actually do have time for it if push comes to shove.
Next time on Podigious, we're swerving back into Tamers for the end of the Tokyo Divas arc. Bye!
Bye!
And remember, never stop Digivolving. Do you guys see the the outline view in Google Docs?
I currently don't see it. Do you have it?
Go to if you go under Tools and then Document Outline, you can see a sidebar on the left that.
Oh, That seems to make things easier. Wow.
Yeah.
Miss freaking magic stuff, man.
I noticed it appeared once, and then it wasn't there the next time I opened Google Docs. I was like, no, where'd you go? Oh, no one color coded these. I'm just gonna guess.
I look forward to this.
Oh, who is this? Is that supposed to be orange?
Don't tell him.
No, I need to make it myself.
In an attempt to secure Toei a budget for more animation frames, they list off the fine features of the lovely Oedo Onsen Monogatari, an oasis in the heart of Japan's capital city.
Wait, actually, can you do that in a in a monotone, they list off the fine features of lovely, Oedo Onsen Monogatari, an oasis in the heart of Japan's capital city. You're doing a really bad ad.
That's not monotone.
It's not a monotone.
Really?
What you're looking for is bad tour guide voice.
Bad tour guide. I can try.
Start the period.
In an attempt to secure Toei a budget for more animation frames, they list off the fine features of the lovely Oedo Onsen Monogatari, an oasis in the heart of Japan's capital city.
No, you read that in a good tour guide.
I'm sorry.
A bad tour guide.
I don't.
Like an oasis in the heart of Japan's capital city.
Why don't you just get Robotmon?
Okay, wait, no, I can, I'll, okay. In an attempt to secure Toei a budget for more animation frames.
No, not the whole thing. Just the part that's actually an ad.
Oh my god.
Ken returns a Trojan Maine Coon and Leomon Leomons.
Wow. Terrible person, Jeffrey. Anyway.
Wait, terrible person for saying Leomon Leomons?
Also for saying Ken returns a Trojan Maine Coon.
What's wrong with that?
You're a terrible person.
Too soon?
No, it just doesn't flow well.
Oh, you mean a terrible person because of poor writing?
Yes.
That is not clear. I wanted to get across Trojan horse, but then just saying Trojan on its own makes it sound like the condom now, so.
Oh, see, I would have guessed a virus Trojan.
Oh, yeah. It's totally a Trojan horse. I guess it could be like Trojan horse.
I thought it was virus too.
Well, yeah.
Whatever.
It's fine.
You could have done a Trojan cat, and that would have flowed a little better than a Trojan Maine Coon.
That's true, yeah.
Whatever.
Andrew, talk.
Well, since everything just seems wonky, I'm just going to say I really just enjoyed most of the slice of life stuff.
Which was most of the movie.
Hello?
Yeah? Can you hear it?
Did we lose Andrew again?
I guess he can't hear us. We can hear him.
Oh, boy.
I can hear you guys now.
Oh, okay.
We were able to hear you.
Were you quiet?
No. We were talking. We were talking back at you. We were saying slice of life is terrible. Digimon shouldn't have slice of life.
Slice of life is garbage.
I am garbage, so there.
What slice of life moments in particular stood out? Can you hear us, or are you thinking?
I don't think you can hear us.
Oh, no.
Whee!
Huh. Does he have bad Wi-Fi in his...
Yes.
Oh, This episode of Potages is brought to you by Instant Ramen. Instant Ramen is so easy to make, even college students and fish without hands can make it... Bleh, I didn't read that right, because I can't see my screen.
He's not a fish.
Oh, he's totally a fish.
He's not a fish.
What is he?
You're a fish.
He's a sea lion or something.
He's definitely like a sea lion or a sea
He's a mammal. Have you gone like 15 years thinking he's not... He's a fish?
But he has marching fishes.
Yeah, because sea lions eat fish.
It says his design is derived from the spotted seal, according to the Digimon Wiki.
All right, that makes sense, too. His body shape looks like a sea lion, though.
Yeah, okay. This isn't a Rama joke, isn't as funny as I thought it was.
I think this should just be that.
Okay. This episode of Potages is brought to you by Instant Ramen. Instant Ramen is so easy to make, even college students and seals without hands can make it. That was all. That was the joke.
Great. Cool.
What seals with hands do you know? For that matter, what fish with hands do you know?
Should I say like sea mammals without hands?
Mambomon.
No, it's cool.
Mambomon has hands.
I don't know what that is.
Well, rather, he has boxing gloves. No, he has hands.
What? What? this fish that Andrew posted is ridiculous.
What is happening?
It's Mambomon. That's okay.
All right, well, you win.
It's an armor. I think Patamon becomes it.
Patamon.
No, that can't be right.
Digi-egg of Cody?
Digi-egg of submarine.
Like, if you score low on the math section of the SAT, you're not probably going to go into math in college.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, case in point, me and Ashley.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually did better on the math section than the English section, which is
really
weird. Yeah.
Okay, case in point, me, I guess.
Speaking of the SAT, they're changing it
again.
Yeah,
they never know what they want from these children.
More practical real world stuff.
Instead of the reading section, they discuss Digimon analysis. That'll be my SAT.
Okay, they're not gonna have penalties for wrong answers. These lucky people.
I mean, that was one of those aspects that's, like, so misunderstood. I feel like it was almost an intelligence test to, like, see if people could understand the... Because, like, so many people are like, I'm just not going to pick an answer. And it's like, no, like, statistically, you're better off picking answers. Or, like, and there's like, no, it just seems bad. Actually, no, I guess, because, like, even knowing that, there still is this, like, gut, like, emotional reaction to, like, not want to lose points. So I feel like even if you know statistically, it's still like, and you can't really blame people for like going with their emotional gut instead of rational reason.
Not everybody knows probability and statistics.
But that's
case in point, me.
But teachers should just say that. Like, I think, I don't know. It's also like really simple. It's just like there are five choices. If you guess a random one on all five of them, you're going to get plus four. You're going to get plus one minus. You're going to get one right and four wrong. The four wrong is going to be minus 1 point total. The one's going to be plus 1 point total, so it's net zero. But whatever. That's irrelevant anymore.
So actually, there's no benefit to guessing versus not, because leaving it blank is also net zero.
Wait, it's net zero if you have five choices. But usually you can eliminate like one or two. So if you can eliminate one or two, you're like totally in the positive.
Yeah, I mean, that is the one thing I learned.
Well, yeah, isn't that what they teach you how to do anyway?
Yeah.
If you can... get it down to...
But didn't... I think people still, like, would eliminate one and be like, well, I'm too scared, so I'm going to leave it blank.
Yeah, the only thing I learned from taking a test prep course for like 4 hours was that normally my guess was correct. And I got like 200 something more points just by being like, well, I eliminated two answers. Here are the two I'm unsure about and just guessing on one.
Right.
I hated the reading section of the SAT just because it was like, it always assumed that you would be thinking in the same way as the writer. So I would like think of it from different perspectives and I'd be like, well, this could be true if you assume this other thing. And like, no, you're not supposed to think that much.
Stop thinking.
Yeah. The what's it called when you have like a bugbear? Is that what it's called? When you like, when you have something you're really mad about for a while?
Yes.
Like what? my
no idea what's happening now.
Like you have like a point of contention that's like been sitting with you for a really long time and you're like, I want to get this off my chest. It's like, I have a bee in my bonnet.
A bugbear, yeah. It could be it.
And I have never heard that before.
Yeah.
It's a word I've heard before. I think I've never heard anyone actually use it.
Oh, just like the SAT words that are actually getting rid of.
Okay, I have heard people use SAT words. Okay? The SAT words are not bad.
They're getting rid of the SAT words.
That makes no sense whatsoever. What's going to be on the SAT?
What even is the SAT anymore? What is it? There's still an essay, apparently.
Who knows?
They should. I don't like the essay. They can keep the rest.
Well, the essay was bad. The essay is actually optional.
What?
What?
Wait, was it always optional?
No.
No.
Wait. No.
I mean, in my year, they weren't sure how to count it. So, like, some colleges counted it and some colleges didn't. But it was not optional.
Well, it's optional now.
What? Back in my day, we had to walk 5 miles up the hill in the blizzard and the SATs raining upon us.
Had to walk 5 miles up the question sheet. And so in third grade, we were learning about questions and statements or like what, like, and so one of the questions we got was like, Ashley said she likes pie. And the question was, is this a question, a statement, or an opinion? And I'm like, it's a statement. It's stating what Ashley likes. But they're like, no, the answer is an opinion. It's an opinion that Ashley likes it. I'm like, no, it's not an opinion. It's a statement of an opinion. And
yeah, that is, you are correct, actually.
No, it's not even an opinion. That's a statement of a preference.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
That's kind of an opinion.
It's probably a bad question.
The sentence is, she says this.
Right.
And that is a statement.
I'm still mad at my third grade teacher, so.
Well, your third grade teacher was wrong.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so back to Joe. Long tangent to SATs.
Back to Joe.
Infinity Onsen Devon Monogatari. Not just a trap to murder kids, it's also a trap to murder your anxieties.
What?
Okay. That was a thing. It's a thing just like Koshiro's overalls.
So any other fashion that you guys noticed that I didn't take a picture of?
Nothing I can think of.
Yeah, I can't remember.
I guess we could talk about Rosemond's fashion.
Let's not.
Well, we've been talking about Rosemond's fashion since Rosemond was unveiled.
Yeah.
Really?
Since, like, how many years has it been? When was Rosemond from?
You mean, like, actual Rosemond or, like, the PV showing Rosemond in this movie?
Just Rosemond in general, and it's not the first time we've had a partner as Rosemond.
Yeah, I don't remember when it came out before, if it came out before Savers, but, I mean, like, not every, like, Mervamon or Minervamon or whatever is, like, less booby in Cyber Sleuth, so.
Yeah, but, Rosemond in Savers was Rosemond in Data Squad was one of the biggest edits.
How do they edit that?
They actually cut out a part of the the Digivolve sequence.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
Boob jiggles not allowed on children's television.
God, there were so much jiggle. I'm okay with boob jiggles being removed from my children's television. Like, I just don't need this much boob jiggle in my life.
Apparently, Rosemond has been around since '99.
Huh?
Yeah, I think because I knew about Garudamon evolves into Phoenixmon, right?
Is that the name? I thought it was like Ho-Oh-Mon.
No, I think it's Phoenixmon.
It's both.
Yeah. Ho-Oh-Mon is something else.
No, it's not.
Oh, is it both?
It's both.
Whatever. Because I knew about Phoenixmon a long time ago. So, like, if the others' Mega Evolutions were revealed a long time ago, like, it makes sense that Rosemond's been around for a long time. When did the card game come out? That's probably came out.
The card game, it's been out, I have no clue, for Japan, but it's I guess 99. But we didn't get Rose. Wait, did we get? Well, Rosemond was definitely not in the first two sets, which is pretty much the only one.
No, I don't think we had it, but I think they like designed all the megas for the card game.
So,
isn't it Gankomon?
That is what I meant to say.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I
just wasn't sure.
No, so it's like Meikumon. Oh, wait, no, it's actually Gong. Actually, I don't know how to pronounce this. It's actually, I don't know how to pronounce this katakana. My Japanese is not advanced enough to. It's like Gankua. Gankua? Gankuamon? I don't know.
I think it's smaller, so it's like an emphasis on the O sound.
But it's not an O, it's an U. That's a ku. It's not a ko. Like, that would be what, like.
So Gankou.
No, but like.
I guess.
I don't. This is not. That's not a ko sound either.
Hmm. Anyway, what I was trying to say before is that like Meikumon, which I'm pronouncing like Meikumon, which is how the katakana is spelled and how they say it, is spelled Meikomon. So like I think that's why seeing the COO or KOO, I translated it to Gankumon, but now I'm just really confused. I think Meikumon being spelled COO makes sense because it's like main kun, like kun starts with COO and is spelled and is pronounced ku. So
we don't like having expectations, Jeff, because they always get shut down.
I know, but what else can you do?
Wait patiently.
Get into other things. Yeah.
Watch IQ and erase.
Well, erased is ending soon too.
Calm down. Something will come along to replace it.
It's true. It's true.
Oh, people are really excited for the next anime season. So
there's a lot of good stuff in it.
There's an Ace Attorney anime. Oh, gee.
I need to beat the games.
Is it going to be the same plot as the games?
I think so.
Oh, crap.
I think they're adapting the first game.
Oh, just the first game. Okay. I played the first game. That's perfect for me then. That's the only one I played. They should include the extra chapter that was for like one of the re-releases that was like...
They probably will.
It was like longer than any other thing in the rest of the game. Such a weird bonus content.
Well, yeah, because it was from the DS port.
Right, but it's like, it was like, you know, as long as like two missions from any of the games. It was like it's like, let's make it extra by like doubling the content of the game. That's bizarre. Okay, let's move on to plugs so we can close it up. What was it?
I didn't get to say any expectations or whatever.
Okay, what do you expect, hope, predict?
Jeez, Jeff.
Well, you guys were like, let's close the segment. We hate it. Let's burn it to the ground. Jeff, why'd you let it burn to the ground?
I guess it's telling that I didn't recommend The Boy and the Beast.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, you guys saw it.
We were like, we saw it on like the last day it was in theaters in our area.
Yeah.
Which might be the case for the what's the Ghibli movie? Only Yesterday?
You have the chance to see Only Yesterday?
Oh, is it like really rare?
I've been waiting for it for 20 years.
Oh, it's an old movie. Oh. I was like, I didn't hear about Studio Ghibli coming out with a new movie.
No, wait, that's a lie. Not 20 years. 25 years.
Oh.
Okay, Ashley, I guess we should go see this on Thursday.
Jerks.